thank you. We'll begin with a roll call.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Moreno?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next is approval of agenda.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have no presentations this evening. We'll move on to the consent calendar. All items are considered to be routine. Any member of the council wishing to pull an item? Any member of the public wishing to pull an item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. I will comment on agenda item 4. We have been involved in this discussion for some time where we're consolidating transportation in the North County. It's previously been done separately by the City of Atascadero, the City of Paso Robles, and Regional Transportation Authority. By combining some of the routes and management, we've been able to create considerable savings to each city. We have already found one area to put some of that savings, and that we all wanted to see additional support for the North County campus of Cuesta. We want to help folks who may be trying to attend there after hours with work schedules and what have you. And so we have put a little bit in the extra support in that. But overall, this item will save funds for our city, and we certainly have other priorities that can be addressed with that. I'd entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Big crowd of people walking around. Approximately 80 trainees participated in the training. Mark Russo, one of our Public Works All-Stars and CERT team instructor, said that his backyard looked like a dummy victim assembly factory for the last few weeks. So I think he's pretty glad to have this done. We want to thank Mark and all of those that put a lot of effort into these trainings. I know that the mayor and several council members were able to make it out to the event and enjoyed watching and participating in the event. By all accounts, this was a well-attended and very valuable exercise for preparedness in an earthquake type of disaster event. So we want to thank our CERT volunteers and our staff for that. Atascadero roads and the possible sales tax measure. Our public works director, Russ Thompson, and I have been taking Russ's roads program on the road, so to speak. We have been very busy with numerous local organizations over the past several weeks. We held a community forum here at City Hall as well, all to try and get input from the public and to get information out to the public. Russ's comprehensive presentation has been very well received, and we've been able to answer a lot of good questions and get a lot of good input. If any of you know of a group or organization that would like to hear about the sales tax measure and roads here in Atascadero, Russ and I would be happy to come meet with the organization. We have to do that prior to June 24th, but we could do that. On June 24th, council will be hearing the item, and we invite all of the public to come give their input that night. The Atascadero Boys and Girls Club update. We're very pleased that a North County Boys and Girls Club has been able to secure a location for a summer program in Atascadero at ABC Church. We are also very happy to learn that they have received a scholarship that will enable them to send 40 children in the program to high school pool for 9 weeks. In addition, the Boys and Girls Club staff has been working with various child care facilities in town that will be bringing children to the pool this summer on a weekly basis for the recreational swim program. And that program operates from 1 to 3:30 Monday through Friday at the high school pool. Let's skip one more slide. Canines in the Park. The Atascadero Police Canine Foundation will be holding the annual Canines in the Park fundraiser at Atascadero Lake Park this Saturday, June 14th, from 10 to 3. There will be canine demonstration, and officers will be out there selling shirts as well. That's a great event. Dead fish. We continue to work with the Department of Fish and Wildlife and professional biologists. The fish that remain in the lake will continue, unfortunately, to die off as the water recedes. Fish and Wildlife tell us that we cannot catch and relocate the fish. They're worried about cross-contamination if you move them to another lake. If there's parasites or disease in these fish and we're moving them to another lake, we will have problems. They say that our choice is to let the fish die as the water recedes, unfortunately. It's not a pleasant outcome, but that is best what is best overall for the ecology. We are collecting turtles. The turtles, there's a lot of western pond turtles that live there in the lake. Those are a native species that it's important to protect. So if you see a turtle, whether it be a western pond turtle or other, please take those to the zoo. The zoo is collecting them, keeping them in a separate retaining pond so that we can go ahead and return the native turtles, and we have the homes for the other non-native turtles also. We continue to monitor the lake, work with biologists, work with Department and Fish and Game. Unfortunately, Mother Nature is winning this year, and there's not a lot we can do. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Council questions. Councilman Kelly.
Yes, could we just get an update on where the ordinance is for the salt and spice problem that seems to be popping up in the community and the county and everywhere?
Absolutely. I know the police department's working on it, so I'll have Gerald answer the question.
Thank you.
Absolutely. The police department has been working on that ordinance for a couple of months now. Part of the process has been to look at other agencies within our local area to see what they've done. Lompoc, for instance, has passed that ordinance. We've also looked at a couple of ordinances throughout the state where they have passed similar laws. In addition to that, we were reviewing California state law because there's lawmakers in California are in the process of making illegal some of the substances by which these spice and other types of drugs are made. Our concern is that if they outlaw one single substance, that all the manufacturers of these types of products, whether it be spice or bath salts, all they have to do is change the primary ingredient to something else, and we keep having this problem. And we would like our ordinance by statute to cover any and all kinds of products that might be produced that have a similar effect, and anticipate that it'll be in the council's hands within a couple of months.
Right. Thank you.
Nothing.
Other council comments? Councilman Fonzie.
Question on the lake. Next year, assuming that we get an El Nino and have some rain in the lake, will Fish and Game come and put fish back in?
I'll let Russ answer that one. He's been working the most closely with them.
Yeah, currently they do not have plans to restock lakes like this, so I would anticipate no, we would not.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I would appreciate an ongoing update on the lake. We often get questions, and the question always comes up about the hope we can be looking at dredging. This is the one strategic opportunity with it this low, and probably the biggest challenge to water quality is, again, the lack of depth, which we can't address a lot, but it's also that a layer of nutrients, we can call it, at the bottom of the lake that further feeds algae and then reduces oxygen and other issues. So I would hope we could get an update on that and what we see as any opportunities to address lake and future water quality any way we can. Would we expect that back, or is that something you'll just report on?
We will probably continue to report on that. We have applied, or we are in the process of applying for permits to do that. As you remember, last year we had to have some emergency permits where we put a lot of pressure on Department of Fish and Wildlife. It usually takes around 18 months to get a permit through. We are working on that. We certainly want to take this opportunity while the lake is dry to do some of the maintenance, not just on the lake and the lake water quality itself, but also some possible pavilion repairs and some of that that you can't always get to when the water, when the lake is full. So we're trying to make the most out of a bad situation, but we will keep you updated as we go along and give you any heads up on that.
Thank you. And I think it's important as an education for our community, too, because so often folks think, why don't you just do this? And unfortunately, we have a complicated world we've created, and we have multiple agencies to deal with. So thank you for that. Councilman Moreno.
Since we were asking about fish, what about the ducks and the geese?
We have received permission to relocate the geese, and we do have somebody that is willing to take them. So we will be relocating the geese sometime in the next couple of weeks. The ducks and the coots do have more of an ability to fly.
Community and want to help each and every one of us in case of an emergency. So I just want to thank you very much. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to everyone involved in that. And very proud that have those people in our community to help us out in case we ever do need them. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm glad you acknowledged Mark Russo, who has put a lot of time and energy into that. Thank you. Seeing no other comments on the city manager's report, we're going to move on to community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to talk to any of us on any item not on the agenda. We have up to 3 minutes allowed per speaker. So please come forward at this time, and we ask that you state your name for the record. Seeing... Welcome. Yeah, it's on.
Mayor and Council, Jerry Clay, 7285 Sycamore Road. Hey, Mark Russo did an outstanding job. That man was unbelievable. But anyway, I wanted to give a little rundown on the city-sponsored 4th of July celebration. At 7:30, we're going to have an opening ceremony. Chuck Ward is going to give us a rundown on the... why we're there and what happened years ago. He's a historian. It'll be at the Veterans Memorial. It'll start at 7:30. Bonnie Scott, who sings for Kiwanis all the time, will start with God Bless America, and we'll end with Oh Beautiful, and she does an outstanding job. And also at 8 o'clock, why the ladies out at Nautilus will have the 5 and 10K run, and also the run around the lake. It'll start at 8, but they'll vary the times. From 7:30 to 9, why there'll be a pancake breakfast at the main barbecue pit. The Lions Club does that and does a beautiful job, so that'll be very nice. Andy McMean will be setting up his wonderful, beautiful old carousel the night before, and he'll have that thing ready to go in the morning, I'm sure, and we're really indebted to Andy. He does a great job. The zoo will be open. I believe they open at 10 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. It will be free to the public, and that's always a big event. The first year it was cool, and we had 1,500 go through, and the last year we had about 750, and everybody enjoys that. Karen Sturdivant will be running her crew with the old-fashioned games and anything else she comes up with, tug-of-war, sack races, family. At 11 a.m., why the county band will play until about 12:30, and there could be some other people playing after that. And at 11:30, the world-famous pie-eating contest will start. And it's always an event that everybody loves, and we'd like to have some of the council members participate if possible, or maybe the city manager, who knows. But anyway, Don Cross will be there. He has he provides the music and the PA system, and Brian Sturdivant always helps him, and we appreciate that, Brian. At 12 noon, the Moose Lodge will do cook their famous hamburgers, and the Kiwanis will serve their wonderful hot dogs. There will be other concessionaires there also. And at 4 o'clock, Galaxy Theater will have free movies for kids 12 and under. And there will be two movie theaters going, and they're going to have some old classics for the kids, and it's free. And they're very lenient. They let the fathers and mothers come in if they have to. And so we're looking forward to that. Anyway, it's going to be a great day, and we hope everybody be... There's also going to be a double water slide, and I hope we don't have the fog hanging over the hill like we did today. But if it's hot, we'll have a double water slide there. And did I miss
Thank
anything,
you.
Bob?
Well, if you did, he will fill us in later because okay. He'll have a chance to talk too. Thank you.
Just real quick, if I can.
Won't hurt him to say one word.
Great report. I would just like to add on that Kennedy Fitness has really stepped up on the 5K and the 10K. They have a great advertising plan going out there. They're going to have shirts, recognition awards, is making awards for this, and we really expect quite a turnout. From the first year to the second year, it doubled, and we're really expecting to have hopefully several hundred people out there. You can go to Kennedy Fitness, and you can register online if you care to do that.
They Thank had 200 folks last year, and we're having a meeting Thursday at the community center at 3:30 if anyone would like
Thank
to help.
You. Thank you. Thank you. And we do like to acknowledge Kacho Ashajian, our assemblyman every year, who has covered the cost for having our zoo open for free to the public. So thank you, Kacho, once again. And thank you, Bob and Jerry, for heading that activity up, and a lot of work to organizing such a thing, I know. Seeing no one else approach, we will close public comment, bring it back to council. We do have three public hearings next. They're all relatively routine.
We adopted a policy that said that new development should pay for itself. Part of the policy required that developers to put a mechanism together to pay for such items as road maintenance and maintenance of the common landscape areas. The developers have the option of either forming something like a homeowners association or an assessment district. The developers for Apple Valley, De Anza, and Las Lomas, which was formerly known as Woodridge, all decided to form assessment districts. So this is not a general tax to the citizens of Atascadero, it just applies to the properties that are in each of these districts. For each of the three areas we're discussing tonight, there's a total of six assessment districts, so two in each development. Because of assessment district law, each area is really required to have two, one a landscape and lighting district, and then a street and storm drain district. The public hearing must be held annually to assess the levies for the districts. The general fund does contribute a small portion to each one of the three landscape and lighting districts for the public benefit piece of that. So for Apple Valley, this would begin our public hearing for Apple Valley. A neighborhood meeting was held to discuss the amount of the levies with the neighborhood, with the people participating. The property owners in attendance agreed on an equivalent benefit unit, which is equal to essentially a single-family home, a levy of about $800 for the landscape and lighting district for the year, and about $600 for the benefit assessment district, the street and storm drain district. And so that is what we are proposing for the Apple Valley area. And this concludes my report on the Apple Valley district.
Thank you. Any questions from council? And before we go further, we do have to disclose any ex parte communications. That's where council members share with the public if we've had any conversations with anyone outside of this public process where we may have heard or learned something that might influence our decision tonight. And so with that, I'll begin with, I don't believe I've had any ex parte on this for a number of years, and I see that's the same with all council members. So I'll go ahead with council questions. First, Councilman Fonzi.
Yes, hi, Gary. I was wondering if there was any public input prior to this hearing on the rates.
Yes, we actually held a public hearing. So.
And how do these assessments compare to last year's?
They are pretty close. I think in Apple Valley, trying to remember exactly, I think it went up slightly. I think they're pretty flat or went up a little bit in each one of the neighborhoods. So that was pretty consistent. The street and storm drain district, typically you want to see those just going up a little bit. We don't really have any excess because those you want to save up for to spend on roads and the maintenance, and that does occur, you know, every series of years. So you do want to build up another fund balance in that. In the landscape and lighting districts, generally speaking, we have a little bit of a fund balance in each of the districts because of when it was formed and the developer put in a little bit extra at the beginning, essentially.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Yes, when you have these meetings with the neighbors, how do you come about what the assessment should be? Or do you acquire a bid from different landscaping companies, or is there a formula, or what you use to determine what that amount should be and what's acceptable to the people?
We do have some experience going through now that these districts have been in place since about 2005. So we do have some experience on about how much it takes to run the district given the level of service. So we do check in with the neighbors during this neighborhood meeting on what is your comfort level with the level of service that you are receiving currently from the landscape contractor. So some of the times they say, oh, yeah, it's just perfect. Sometimes they say, oh, well, we'd like to have it mowed a little less often and be charged less. Sometimes they'll say, well, we'd like a little bit higher level of service and we're willing to pay for that. So the law doesn't require that these meetings occur, but here in Atascadero, we like to reach out to our neighbors and ask them, what do you like? How do you prefer to do it? So there is no hard, fast formula for voting or anything, but essentially we give them the information on the previous year. This is kind of where we ended up. These were our costs. This is your fund balance. This is where we recommend would be a good level of a levy for you for the following years, and then we kind of put it out to them.
Very well explained. Thank you.
Thank you. Other council questions? Seeing none, I will open it up to the public. If anyone hearing Dianza Estates Assessment Districts, and first, I don't believe I've had any ex parte communications. Any other council? None. Ask staff to give their report.
Thank you again, Mayor and Council. So it's similar situation with Dianza Estates. We did have a neighborhood meeting as well with these folks and determined that the approximate levy for this one would be $250 for the landscape and lighting district and about $575 for the street and storm drain district on the senior units and about $713 on the single family units. So there is one district, but it does have different types of units in it that really receive different benefits. So they are segregated in the engineer's reports and there are different levels for that. And so additionally, with the senior units, they are at a portion of, they're not considered one equivalent benefit unit. Because they typically tend to be a little smaller, have a smaller occupancy, and so they're considered that they receive a little bit, use a little bit less of the benefit. They're rated at a 0.625 equivalent benefit unit. So their actual cost that will show up on their tax bill is about $360 a year. And that concludes my report on Dianza Estates.
Thank you. Any council questions? Councilman Fonzi.
Again, just to put, not to put you on the spot, but has this gone up considerably since last year, or are they roughly equivalent?
It's roughly equivalent. Went up a small percentage.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, I'll open it to the public. Anyone wishing to speak on Dianza Estates Assessment Districts? Seeing none approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for discussion or motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendations of the staff.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilman Kelly, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item, Woodbridge Las Lomas Assessment Districts. And again, for ex parte communications, I believe we have had a site visit this year and have had some discussion with the owner, I believe. And I don't know if there's any other ex parte by any other council members. I don't believe so.
Or any future notifications to any future buyers. And that concludes my report on Las Lomas.
Thank you. We have this time Councilman Sturdivant beat Councilwoman Fonzi. Go ahead with questions.
Just a question on why so low, and do they understand that that is going to be a huge increase next year?
We did discuss it with the neighbors that were in attendance at the neighborhood meeting, and we have been in discussions with the neighborhood representatives. They have kind of formed a internal landscape committee, I think they call it, so kind of an informal neighborhood type committee. We have been in discussions with those folks who then disseminate the information and let them know that it would be increasing in future years. So there is a fund balance, essentially. They're interested in reducing that amount and gaining the benefit this year and then moving up next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzi.
Jerry, do you know if that includes any of the new construction that's going on there? Will these houses, as they're being built, be inside this district?
Yes, they are all inside the district, and they are all actually already paying into the district. So the district rules, it depends on a certain couple of key dates. The processing of the final map is one of those key dates. So these properties, even though they haven't been built, are already paying into the district. And because we are on the Teeter plan, any of thing that has been in bankruptcy or anything, the district has still been receiving the funding for that.
Do you see any problem for someone who's buying one of those new homes who comes in and sees they have a $52 or $50 fee for the year, and then the next year, once they're settled in, they get this whopping bill that's three or four times that?
It is a concern of mine. I'm not sure exactly how to correct that without upping the levy. I certainly encourage the sales folks to encourage their buyers to ask about things. Certainly we wanted to at least keep something on the list. I know there was at one point some people interested in bringing these down to zero. That kind of makes me a little bit nervous because I want to make sure that any potential homeowners or new buyers would be aware of this and see something there and at least ask the question. We do have information on our website, and it is a concern. I think we do have a surplus in this district, so I think the maximum tax on this is $1,600 currently. I don't believe that it would go up to that at this point. I think given some of the savings we've been seeing on being able to negotiate some great landscaping contractors, that it probably is 5 or 6. Yeah, I'm guessing it's probably in the $600 range maybe for maximum at this point. So while it's certainly more than $50, it's not at the $1,600 level, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Is this something that appears on the deed when someone purchases that there is an assessment district?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Well, that was part of my first question. If there is there an addendum that the city could put on to that deed restriction with the explanation that in the future these costs are anticipated to go up significantly as a warning?
I believe that the maximum tax is the disclosure piece on that. So the maximum tax amount is really the amount, the maximum that you can charge in any 1 year on that property for that, during that district. So that amount has the capacity to increase by a certain percentage every year, and certainly we're well beyond what the maximum is. But I think that is kind of our disclaimer on that. It is on the deed, so it should show up on any
title
of the
report.
Right.
It would just be kind of informative if there was some type of explanation you could put in there, like Mrs. Fonzie said. If you go into buying this house and you're thinking you're only going to pay $50 a year, but next year it goes to $800, that could be a deal killer for a lot of people. And I'm just wondering, maybe that's something we could look into.
Yes, certainly we can look into it.
Thank you. And maybe we can hear back from staff what that might require at the conclusion of council questions. Councilwoman Moreno.
Because this shows up on the property tax rolls, I'm assuming the assessment is a tax deduction then. Is that correct? I know it's kind of an off-the-wall question, but I'm thinking versus HOA, I don't think HOA fees would be deducted.
A lot more difficult on existing homes that sell just in the normal course of things. But we can certainly contact the sellers and developers and try and make sure that they really put forth an extra effort so that they know this is an artificially low year, that we're using up the reserves in this year. That was the desire of the neighborhood. It was a strong desire, but that next year you'll have used up those reserves and it will bounce back up, and try and get that word out as much as we can.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzie.
This is for the city manager. Is this recommendation based on staff's recommendation, or this recommendation is based upon the homeowners in that assessment district?
I believe that the recommendation is based on the homeowners in the district. We try and build consensus. Staff had been working with them over the last few years. This reserve has existed since basically inception. We've been working at them as using up that reserve slowly, and slowly building up to what an annual fee was. This year, there was a very strong neighborhood desire saying, nope, we want all of that gain right now this year. Yes, we know that next year it will go up. There is some, assessment districts, you're not supposed to be accumulating money and sitting on large reserves. So there is a reason that, yes, what they're recommending of dropping it is okay, because we really aren't supposed to be sitting on the reserves there. We're only supposed to have enough to run the district. So while it's not what I would do, I'm a lot more conservative than that. It is a reasonable request from the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no more council questions, we'll open it up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the Woodridge, formerly Las Lomas Assessment District? Welcome.
Good evening, Council. My name is Mike Sappas. I'm a resident here in Atascadero. And I represent about a third of the homeowners there with Las Lomas Village. And I didn't get noticed, so I missed the meeting. But I do want to support the staff's recommendation or the homeowners' recommendation. I think it's a good idea. And the only other comment I would make about the whole thing is that with our project and with the other houses, there's money coming in for open space to the city. And I would request that the trail system be joined. As it is now, there's essentially two directions on the trail, but it does.
I think the question is about trails and how that might be approached in the
future.
That
would be something that we would talk to the assessment district at the next neighborhood meeting to see if they did want to spend any reserves that they still had on the trail and improving that.
Okay, so we can essentially just add that for a discussion item for
them. We will make note for the neighborhood meeting.
Very good. Thank you. Entertain a motion on this item or further discussion?
Move staff approval.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is a management report on solid waste and recycling contract negotiations. It's really the only thing we have on the agenda that may take some time, and of course, I anticipate listening to everyone who wants to speak. I would suggest, since I don't want to break for a break in between deliberation, I would consider that we go through staff report, any council questions, and then before we begin public comment, we may take a short break and then try to work through to a decision after that. So I would ask our staff to go ahead with the staff report. I believe that's Public Works Director Russ Thompson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Yes, tonight we're going to be talking about the status of the solid waste and recycling negotiations that have been going on since your April 8th meeting, where Council directed staff to work with both existing service providers and try to renegotiate new contracts with those providers. So tonight, a summary and recommendation tonight is that staff's recommendation is that you direct staff to bring back contracts with both Atascadero Waste Alternatives and North San Luis Obispo County Recycling for their respective services that they provide in accordance with the deal points that we're going to talk about tonight. So, as I said earlier, council at their April 8th meeting directed staff to go back and go through the renegotiation process. Some of the key elements of that directive, after a pretty thorough discussion of solid waste handling and thought about the buyback center and that how that buyback center was not in Waste Alternatives contract, but they had been providing that service. And so there was a lot of discussion on that. So we've addressed that in these negotiations, and we'll talk more about that. And then council was also interested in seeing if those additional environmental services that staff was recommending in April could be rolled into this negotiation to see what impacts, if any, those would have on rates to the customers. So a little bit, like, and this slide is from our April 8th meeting. This is just showing that you know, the trash, solid waste, and recycling in Atascadero is kind of a three-legged stool. It's basically you have waste management that does all the curbside collection of solid waste, green waste, and recyclables, commingled recyclables. They in turn take that commingled recycling and green waste to Templeton, to North County Recycling, and then all of the solid waste, trash, actual trash material is required that they haul that to Chicago Grade Landfill. And so all of the three contracts are interrelated, and it's important that as we've brought these three contracts together that all the terms are consistent through the three different service providers. Again, a little bit of just going back for the public's benefit, Public Resources Code does allow agencies like the city to negotiate contracts directly with service providers without being required to go through some kind of competitive bidding. But in the long run, we have to act in the public's interest, best interest, and there's ordinances that the city has to pass that deal with this. So we have a municipal code ordinance that does in fact allow us to directly contract for these services, and we have the ability, as the council seems deems necessary, to protect the interest of the city. And so those ordinance provisions exist. So a little bit about the solid waste. I'm going to start with the solid waste collection contract and then go to the recycling contract. So the initial negotiations were we wanted to maintain the existing provisions in the contract. And so none of those existing contract provisions have changed. We have extended the term of the contract 6 years. North County Recycling is unchanged. They pay $7 a ton for commingled recycling and $27 a ton for green waste, $2 of which of each of those fees comes back to the city as a tipping fee, Eric. So the new provisions in the solid waste collection contract were we have successfully been able to negotiate with Waste Alternatives for to have them include the park trash collection services at exterior trash cans would be serviced. We've included the street sweeping provisions that we had proposed. They have agreed to provide a 19-gallon reduced rate cart, so that's going to give us the ability to have those people that have either smaller units, might be empty nest people, or maybe it's just one person that lives in a house. They don't need necessarily a 30 or 32-gallon trash can or larger. They're now going to be able to get a 19-gallon cart at a reduced rate. The solar-powered recycling units that are kind of an environmental awareness public feature, we have included three of those units. Likely, we've thought put one at the lake park, one at the zoo, and perhaps one here in Sunken Gardens in front of City Hall, and then the document shredding day. Key is we were able to the residential rates are not affected. So they remain to be, you know, some of the lowest, if not lowest, residential rates in the North County. So that was a good outcome of these negotiations. So here's those residential rates. 30-gallon cart will stay at $20.58, and you can see that goes up to 90-gallon cart at $46.50. So the I don't have the 19-gallon rate for you specifically tonight, but we're expecting that final rate would be some kind of proportional reduction based on the size, but that remains to be seen. If it is strictly a proportional rate, it's likely going to be in the $14 or $15 range. The big item, and it took, I think, the most amount of work, and we certainly appreciate Waste Alternatives' diligence and commitment to reducing the commercial rates. And I know this was painful for them, but they did come through and reduce every single commercial rate in a range of minimum of 10% up to some rates came down 36%. So this, I know it's a little hard to example of these commercial savings. I picked, with the help of Waste Alternatives today, AMPM up on San Anselmo. And these are just an example of how these commercial rates would impact these businesses. AMPM and their service that they have, they're currently paying $445 a month for their dumpster service multiple times per week. That rate gets reduced to $325 a month. So that's going to be an annual savings of $1,436 to them. So this is going to have some significant impact to businesses in town. That ranges up, you can see there, McDonald's, and these are my estimates, so $2,418 annual savings. Vons, who has large dumpsters that's serviced multiple times, I think five times a week, you know, so they're paying a high rate. They generate a lot of garbage. Their rate's going from $1,363 a month down to $967, represents almost a $4,800 savings per year to them. So that's going to be throughout all commercial businesses. So I think this represents a significant savings to businesses in town. So one of the last issues is the solid waste, and the solid waste side of the negotiations is the buyback center. So that's the at Waste Alternatives facility there in San Luis Avenue. They have open to the public a location where recyclable materials can be brought in, and then they weigh and sort and process that material and then pay the customer with the CRV return money. So in 2013, that center returned back to the community $637,000 in recyclables. And it's not currently in their contract to do that. So Waste Alternatives has been doing that service throughout their existing contract. Several years ago, you'll remember in our previous discussions, they had come to us and said, hey, this is not in our contract. It's becoming a financial burden to us. We'd like to entertain, you know, how can we stop? Is there alternatives? And they, with some urging from the council, they agreed to continue that service until we got to these renegotiations. But they have not been paid for that, or it was not factored into their contract originally. So in the proposed renegotiation, staff feels that they are warranted some options that they included in their proposal would be, and these are not, we don't have to pick one of these options tonight, but in the next year, this issue will have to be dealt with. So one of the options would to make them whole in their proposal is a 6.8% raise in commercial rates. And these are just to give you a magnitude of what it would take. The second one, an alternative would be to raise residential rates 40 cents a month the first year, and then another 40 cents a month in year three would cover the cost of operating that center. And then several options were centered on the recyclable materials, but those are not appropriate since we're moving forward with a contract with North County Recycling. But that was that number three was if North County Recycling would pay $10 a ton for those commingled recyclables, that amount of revenue would fund the buyback center. That's not what we're proposing. Option four was that Waste Alternatives would keep those collected commingled recycling and pay the city $10 a ton. Again, that was contrary to directions council gave us. Other options would be that they stop providing the service, and then Cal Recycle would require supermarkets in town, at least we believe two of them, to have what is called a replanet, which is kind of a localized buyback center on the site of a supermarket. Albertsons and Paso Robles operates this way, and we've talked with them. So those are some of the options, and our recommendation is that in the next year we determine what is the best way to solve that buyback center issue. Okay, so that takes us to the recycling and green waste. In negotiations with Mr. Goodrow, we have come to agreement, and again, they'll have the opportunity to speak tonight to confirm this. The term, we're proposing the same contract extension to extend his contract 6 years to 2021. He would continue to pay the city $2 a ton for the recyclable materials delivered to his site. He will take the residual material to the Chicago grade landfill. Those are all consistent with the existing contract. New provision with the city, with his composting operation, to work with both Waste Alternatives and North County Recycling to do a waste characterization, just to keep our finger on the pulse of how much trash is coming through the recyclable materials stream, because it creates a big impact to him, because he's got to take that trash. If it's loaded with trash, he's got to sort that trash out, take it to Chicago grade, and pay them their $47 a ton for that material. So we want to do a waste characterization to make sure we understand what's happening in the recyclables, and if we need to make adjustments, we'll have the information we need. And then a big concession, and I think it's out of fairness, we have included a provision where they would get a CPI adjustment, just like Waste Alternatives gets. We included it in the Chicago grade landfill contract that we negotiated a couple years back. So we've included a CPI provision that every other year at the same time Waste Alternatives calculates theirs, North County Recycling would calculate their CPI increase, and there we get a little incremental increase in the bill to the customers. But it only seemed fair that he have the same provision as energy costs and employee costs continue to rise. So the public benefit achieved, we feel like the meetings like this, and on April 4th, there is transparency in this process. We're maintaining a high level of service from the two vendors. We feel that the cost holding residential rates the same and significantly reducing commercial rates while getting the extra services is led to these, you know, proposed rates staff feels are reasonable. And a long way is it's the long-term stability. By extending both of these contracts, the public is ensured that there's no interruption in service, or if we change vendors or went out for RFP and change vendors, there's that possibility of that transition time being awkward or problematic for the public. And we've achieved the council's goal of no increased cost for the additional services and getting those commercial rates down in line with other agencies in North County. So in summary, again, commercial rates have been reduced. Residential rates remain low. We've got the additional services, added 6 years, and predictability for the public. This has been, you know, we've become being good team players. I think they value providing service to the city of Atascadero, and we've got here without, you know, any problems, I would say, but they're certainly, you know, willing to give their take on it. But and that's it for the presentation. They're here to answer any questions. Again, Bill Worrell, I forgot to mention, is here in the back, so if you have IWMA questions, is here, and then representatives of both Waste Alternatives and North County Recycling are here.
Thank you. We will have some council questions. I do want to begin by saying we used to have a very long evergreen contract, which was 12 years or more, I believe. When I first came on council, that meant that every year we could decide to renew the contract 12 years out. And I had concerns about that. Of course, I was new, but I was part of the council majority that pulled the plug, so to speak, that we wanted an opportunity to take a look at the contracts a little closer. And so that process of getting here tonight really started about 10 to plus years or so ago. And since then, I've learned a lot, having been on the Integrated Waste Management Authority Board, and all I can say is it's a much more complex industry than I ever thought. I've learned a lot, and thank all of the providers in our county that have helped with that education. I would like to see if Mr. Worrell, who's the Chief Executive Officer with Integrated Waste Management Authority and is considered an international expert in the field, if he'd have like any comment along with staff report before we go to further council questions. Mr. Worrell, at least a wave or something. And is there anything you would add? Because I know you were involved in these discussions and consulting with staff.
Most importantly, at 5:30 this morning, my daughter gave me a new grandson.
Well, that's important.
So it's been a long night. I've worked closely with Russ before he started the negotiations, gave him my 35 years of knowledge in about 30 minutes and sent him on his way, and I think he's brought you back a really good agreement. So if you have any questions or whatever, I'd be here to answer them.
Very good. And if you would stay close by, because folks may have questions for you as well as staff. With that, I'm going to go to council questions. First, I have Councilman Moreno, followed by Councilman Kelly.
Radical changes from what's in their existing contract, okay. But we can certainly look at that.
Okay. It just, and I don't know if the city manager has any input on that. I was just thinking that maybe that seems a little low for any disruption in service.
I believe so. So the ordinance is the floor, and we can certainly, I don't know off the top of my head what the level is in the current contract, but we can certainly work with both AWA and North County Recycling to make sure that they're appropriate for the work that's currently being done.
Okay. Let's see. Russ, why is it maybe just some history, the grocery stores have never provided the service as required by law?
Well, CalRecycle is the state agency that oversees that and the recycling activity. How we got to the way it is now, I'm not sure. It's been in place for 10 or 15 years, so it's been quite a while. The CalRecycle requires that the public have a place within a certain proximity to those CRV sales generators. So the larger supermarkets are required to have a buyback center within a certain proximity to their site. So by Waste Alternatives having this open, basically gets, say, Albertsons and likely Vons, maybe Food for Less, off the hook for providing it because it's provided here in town. So if Waste Alternatives or the city decides to close that center, once the buyback center was closed for 60 or 90 days, CalRecycle would notify those CRV generators or sales locations that they have to install or have to provide a buyback center. So it's similar to the Albertsons and Paso Robles wasn't in the proximity that they needed to be from a buyback center. So behind the store, they have what's called Replanet, and it's just a little kiosk, basically, where they collect and pay out the CRV, and they're given a voucher that they can then use in Albertsons. In speaking with the Albertsons store manager, they don't like it. It's a mess. It's hard to manage. It's an additional service that they have to provide that's kind of contrary to running a supermarket. So they have the same issues that Waste Alternatives does. It takes manpower. They have to sort and weigh and pack.
Part of the problem is familiar with us is, of course, state of California set up a way to collect from consumers. Unfortunately, they never pay back, and that's been a problem. That it's been an unfunded mandate, so no one wants to participate because the state takes the money in and keeps it, if you can believe that, much like our road money and in many other areas. So it is an area that I think we've had to step in. Councilman Kelly and I certainly met on this issue to keep the buyback center in operation until we had a chance to come up with a plan. It is the responsibility of basically the grocery stores or the folks that sell products that collect a fee, even though they're in a position of not getting reimbursed. So it's a dilemma. If you'd like more information on that, I think Bill Worrell is. We've worked quite a bit with Cal Recycling trying to find alternatives, and we really haven't had any luck on that.
I think, Tom, you know, as you say, we sat in on that meeting, and I think Mr. Worrell probably could get up and give a real good explanation of it, of how the different laws in California are contradictory of doing this. But on the other side of the aisle, they'll say you can't do it that way. Or I believe those centers have to be inside. It's just a complete nightmare. And it's like a program that they've put more effort into not making it work.
Yes. that probably sums it up, Councilman Kelly. So we'll continue with your questions if you'd like. And you can direct questions to Bill Worrell if you'd like.
So it seems like the grocery stores, I mean, they haven't spoken, but they're probably not clamoring to have this. They do get some money from Cal Recycle. Is that the case? They get some reimbursement for the material or for having the replanted?
I believe in it. And Waste Alternatives certainly could address this. But the CRV that they pay in, they do get reimbursed by the state. But they are not subsidized. They don't get paid for providing the center. But the monies for the CRV redemption, they do get reimbursed, as I understand it.
Okay, so in this scenario, the $637,000, all things being equal, would go back to the grocery stores if that's what they paid out.
No.
They get reimbursed. So as somebody brings their tin can or aluminum cans in, they weigh them, they get a redemption value for that. That money comes from the CRV program and is then reimbursed to Waste Alternatives. I mean, Waste Alternatives is not paying out $600,000 out of their pocket. That's money that eventually gets paid back from Cal Recycle.
Cal Recycle, okay.
I'd like Bill Worrell to address that. I think maybe clarify that a bit. You've had direct conversations with Cal Recycling. And
the problem is they take in about $1 billion a year when you pay your nickel or dime at the stores. And because the recovery rate has gotten to be so high, it's almost 80%, they pay out $800 million. So there's only $200 million left to fund the whole program. And so that funding mechanism isn't high enough to pay for everything. And so these centers, like at grocery stores, the grocery store gets paid something to operate it. But the state doesn't want a lot of them because they don't have the money to pay for them, and that funding is going to get cut more and more. Now, with the Tascadero Waste Alternatives, because their recycling center is not at a grocery store, they're not getting paid anything from the state of California. So they're losing out on about, I think it's $2,000 a month. So the problem is there's just a shortage. Too many people are turning their bottles and cans in, and there's actually legislation this year that's looking at that. Nobody knows where it's going to end up. But hopefully they'll come up with a fix so they can fund all these centers and give everybody their money back.
I do have a question for Mr. Worrell, if I could. Would it be possible in any way to have the buyback center be a, you know, semi-self-serve? So if you go to the grocery store, it's a self-serve with your recycling. Could that be done at a buyback center where you would have, you know, a half a dozen of those, and obviously there would have to be some staffing of it because you've got to do the same things the grocery stores would need to do with it, but maybe not the amount of staffing, and then there would also be the payment for that because they're using the replanet. Would that work?
Sure. That's called a reverse vending machine where you put your can in and it gives you your money back. They were actually pioneered by a fellow down in South County that has since passed on, but I've seen them, for example, in Europe by Nextcycle, who's one of the California vendors. Again, there's a cost to operating that machine, and so, you know, if there's not more money in it for some of these companies, they're very hesitant to put in an expensive reverse vending machine.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions, Councilwoman Moreno?
Russ, you had mentioned that North County recycling pays 47% to Chicago Grade. Did you mean 42, or is that their rate is 47? I'm sorry, not percent, dollars.
Per ton.
It's
whatever our rate
42.
Is. It's
okay.
42.
Okay.
If I said 47, I was wrong.
Okay, thank you. That's all for now.
Thank you. That concludes Councilman Moreno, Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
Mr. Rail, did you just say that the waste management was losing $2,000 a month on the buyback?
They're not getting paid the $2,000 that if the buyback center is actually located at a grocery store in their parking lot, that grocery store would get about $2,000 from the state. Because they're not located at a grocery store, they lose out on it.
That's okay. Loss of revenue. That's not cost.
Fine. Thank you. Page 234.
Oh, excuse me. I think you clarified. Yeah, the $2,000 is
a month.
Okay. So that's lost revenue that a grocery store would be entitled to, if I understand. Go ahead.
Under the different options that you presented, I think on page 234, the first one was a 6.8% increase in commercial rates. Do you have a dollar value that you can put onto that?
The total amount, we're assuming in talking with Waste Alternatives and other agencies, we anticipate or we expect the cost to run that buyback center is to be $4,000 to $5,000 a month. And so both the commercial or the residential alternative were intended to generate that amount, roughly $5,000 per month.
So that would be $60,000 a year.
Yes.
Right, great. And then we have a commercial rate reduction of 10 to 36%. What percentage of the 660 some people is it tainted towards the 10%? Are the majority of the clients at 10% or are the majority of them at 36%? Or do you have any ratio what that might be there?
We could ask their rate specialist is here tonight. He might be able to address more of the numbers involved.
Okay, and that 6.8% would only be a one-time deal?
Yes.
Okay, let me see what else I have down here. I think in the last discussion we had at the city council meeting, there was quite a bit of discussion on getting the natural gas trucks in the future for environmental concerns. It seems to be that might be the possible trend in the future. I notice in the agenda report there's nothing regarding that. Would there be anything in the contract that would address that in the future?
No, we specifically left that out. The greenhouse gas standards go into effect, in 2020. That represents a significant capital cost to whichever service provider we have. So, and that would end up costing more money. They would have to factor that into their rates. So at this point, we don't feel that it's important for this contract going forward in the next 6 years. In the next contract, it may become more critical or more important to include that. So we specifically have left that out. Now, Waste Management, the parent company to Waste Alternatives, they will tell you that corporation or company-wide, they're moving that direction, and they likely in the future will get there, whether we require it or not. But it's not in this contract.
I know a lot of corporations now are consolidating their service centers, and I think at the last meeting there was some discussion too about having a local office here that people could actually go in and talk to somebody. And I noticed there's nowhere mentioned here that would be a requirement that they have a local office that's opened up whatever it might be, so many days a week and hours or what have you. Is that something that got overlooked, or is that something we may want to look into?
It's not included. I think they have a presence in Atascadero on St. Louis Avenue. There's an office there where a customer could go in and see a person. There's nothing in our contract that I'm aware of that requires them to provide that, but certainly that service center or that site that they have is in close proximity to trucks.
I'm just concerned about the future.
Yep,
seems to be the trend with a lot of
it. It might be something we could ask them.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
plenty of time for questions. If you feel like you missed one, we'll cycle back through. Next is Councilwoman Fonzie, followed by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
A question, Russ, about the buyback center. That you say that this would be covered by waste alternatives if our contract is approved for 1 year. And then there are several alternatives that are laid out here. And one of those alternatives, or maybe two, kind of deals North Slo County recycling out of the mix, that basically they change the fees that they would be paid or paying, or waste alternatives would take this over. What was North County Recycling's response to this?
We as staff took that as, I mean, even though they were in the waste alternatives proposal, I think they were trying to give us a broad range of options. Certainly when the council said we want to renegotiate a contract with waste North County Recycling, those don't match. So we are not recommending we pursue those by approving or moving forward with a contract with North County Recycling. Those would be ruled out.
So really what we're talking about is an additional 6.8% increase in commercial rates, or an additional 40 cents a month on residential rates for year 2 and 3.
Or they close and a replanet or some other public facility would be in town to allow them to close that. It's and like Bill said, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's laws that are going to change in the next 12 months. We're not sure how it's going to affect the buyback centers, their financial viability. So I don't know if we can have the crystal ball that we need to predict where we'll be in 12 months. But I think staff acknowledges it's a legitimate expense. We've seen how they operate it. We know there's staff time involved and part of their site that's dedicated to the buyback center, and there is real expenses. I think, and so it's just those options would have to get worked through.
I can't speak for the rest of the council, but it seems that these increases are a burden that hadn't been factored in when we were originally talking about this a month or two ago. And personally, when a person is paying for that bottle, they don't want to go and pay more on their taxes again for something they've already paid for. So personally, I see this as a contradiction and a problem for the city, and that we would have some complaints about additional costs for something they thought they already paid for.
Well, if I may weigh in on that again, this is a topic that's a common topic across the county with the Integrated Waste Management Authority, and that is why we are working hard to try to resolve this at the state level with this organization. And I am pleased that we have about a year or two reaction time, because I think, as our city engineer said, there's a lot of discussion about how this is going to be changed. And I think it's something we have to work on. It's going to be a cost if we have a provider required to do it that doesn't get a reimbursement. I think our first option is to help make the state system work as it should, and if that doesn't happen, then to look at those that actually are eligible for reimbursement, get their assistance on that. So I think those are paths I personally would like to pursue first, and it would be, it's a problem that still needs a solution. You're correct.
And Mr. Kelly mentioned that natural gas was one of the things that are trending forward. One other thing that was discussed at our April meeting was food waste collection. Is this something that was discussed with waste alternatives?
Yeah, we started down a path with a pilot program and to try to get that food waste, pre-consumer food waste, into the green waste bins and part of that green waste recycling. Mr. Goodrow could address that. It is certainly the way the industry is moving, that food waste is something, or Bill Worrell too, the food waste they're trying to get out of the landfills and out of that waste stream. Again, there's some uncertainty with what the rules are going to be, where the regulations are going to fall, and we just didn't feel like right now we were ready to include that as a requirement.
And one last question. This is regarding fees for different things. Were the fees that are charged by waste alternatives also considered? That I know that there's a monthly fee depending on whether you're commercial, residential, and the size of your trash can. But there are fees for dropping them off and renting the green waste and various types of locking mechanisms, and all kinds of fees are also put on there. Were these considered also, so we don't know that whether these will go up and down or they'll stay static?
We could have them address that. That is not something that we had proposed to include. But I've heard that in some instances, if they have to manipulate a dumpster and it takes them, you know, extra effort to get that out to where the truck can pick it up, that there is a potential for charging for that service. Again, over the past 5 years, I've never had anybody complain of, hey, you know, Waste Alternatives is getting to us. They're charging us $5 to roll our dumpster out. It's not something that the public has been expressing displeasure with.
I understand. I just know as a taxpayer, I know I pay taxes, but then the fees come too.
Yeah.
And so they can certainly go up. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I think the food waste issue is more tied to green waste than the hauling, and so that would be an issue with North County Recycling. They could address that. Once again, it's an issue that there's a lot more state requirements than originally anticipated, and Mr. Goodrow has worked tirelessly to get through the process with the state, and we at Integrated Waste Management have assisted with that, but there's separate issues for hauling the food waste as well and transferring the food waste as well as actually recycling the food waste. So apparently we're doing good on one front to get a license, but found out you got to have a couple more. So it, like I say, it's a very frustrating to those in the industry. We have Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, followed by Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Councilman Kelly.
Yeah, Russ, question about natural gas. I know it's not in this contract, but don't they already have some natural gas vehicles running here in Atascadero? I believe they do.
I don't believe so. And I looked at Dan, and he was giving me the okay. Nod, no.
Okay.
I know their company, Waste Management, certainly does system-wide, but not here.
Okay. And actually, my question is, if we were to regulate roll-offs here in the city of Atascadero, would that franchise fee be something that we could use for this buyback center?
I think that's certainly an option that was worth pursuing. I mean, that ability exist for us to franchise that and get franchise fees that we currently don't. So right now anybody can do C&D, it's construction and demolition roll-off boxes, can drop them here in town and there's no regulation. Those trucks, those drop boxes mm-hmm. oftentimes are on the edge of our streets, or certainly the delivery trucks are damaging pavement. So I think that in the next 12 months, that's something we should look at as a reasonable fee for that ability to come in here. And it helped offset, too, some of the losses that we might mm-hmm. see from this program.
Yeah, a little more control and some fees, a revenue stream coming in that we could keep this program going with. Yeah. Thank you.
And that was a good question. Moving on to Councilman Moreno, followed by Councilman Kelly.
Russ, if the city went forward with the two contracts tonight, they would begin 1/1/15, correct?
Yes.
And so the reduced commercial rates, would those not go in effect until 1/1, or is there something to bring those into effect prior to that?
I think we have the option to create an effective date sooner than January 1st. It would be part of the contracts and the final dot in the I's, crossing the T's. If we could, we would want to discuss when we could start those services. It may end up being January 1st, but we had intended to get certainly the extra services at the parks and the street sweeping. You know, September would be great if we could do that on some of those. But I think those are some of the final, you know, okay. final negotiations to get the contracts in place.
Okay. I mean, it would be nice if our businesses could start saving money as soon as possible. And then secondly, the funding options for the buyback center. I realize that you put in the 40 cents years 2 and 3 on residential or the 6.8% on commercial. Those are simply options. Is that correct? Like, you could come up with a combination of those. Possibly grocery stores that are happy to not be providing it could, you know, maybe look at them for some funding. I mean, who knows? There are other options to look at that would happen down the line. Is that correct?
I think so. I think there's been a willingness with Waste Alternatives to throw ideas out. And I mean, these were just the items that they put in their proposal to give us an idea of the magnitude of what it would take. So I believe, and they can address this later, that they'd be willing to look at some of those. I think those are good ideas.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Kelly.
Yes, the reduction in the commercial rates is kind of intriguing, the 10 to 36% reduction. I know most businesses are struggling just to stay above water because of the increase in cost of doing business. During your negotiations with the waste management, how did you come about getting this significant reduction?
Well, largely, I mean, they came to the table with proposals on different rates, you know, reductions. So we looked to them. You know, they clearly, the council expressed, you know, a concern about it. They looked at, you know, the value of six additional years of service to the Atascadero, and locking those in means something to them. And so that surety can end up resulting in lower rates. And so it was them proposing it and staff looking at it and saying, you know, okay, we're getting, and we used other rates in other communities in the North County, and we compared their proposed rates to other service providers and found that they were down very close to other service providers. And again, with the additional services that they were providing, we thought that, okay, they're still a little higher, but for what we're getting, and that we felt that there was value there for that.
Thank you.
If I may, too. There was some discussion on capital costs and some of those. You know, the question obviously is begged, hey, how did you get down to these? How come you weren't charging those all along? We did talk about startup costs and capital costs that they did have to incur at the beginning of their contract, the first contract, that they would not have to incur for the 6 months, because they've already either depreciated that or incurred those costs as part of the first one, and that was helping towards get to those lower rates.
You know, I understand that, but when I was in the construction business and I bought a new truck, I didn't raise the price of what it cost to build a house. I had to absorb that to depreciate it. So it's a very intriguing issue here. Thank you.
Thank you. And, of course, as that's what we've heard from all providers, as they say the reason they need a long-term contract is to amortize out those costs, and a continued contract reduces that. I do think a significant issue has been the buyback center, which is a cost that really did not have a home, and coming to where we are, and quite frankly, it's tough to negotiate some of those items that just don't quite fit a category, and that's where I think we have to take them on ourselves and find a solution rather than pushing an unknown onto the private sector when there's so much government intervention. It's an unknown cost with a lot of unpredictableness, so I'm kind of glad we're taking that on. I don't see any other council questions at this time. And if a staff doesn't have any other input, it has been requested that we do any ex parte. Again, it's not required on a management report such as this, but it's always a good idea to be as open and transparent as we can be. Ex parte, again, is where if we have had any involvement with anyone, where we have learned something outside of the public process that might influence our decision. So you may have heard a lot, but if it doesn't influence your decision, it may not be reportable. If you have heard something at a public session like this, but in my case, I hear a lot, being involved with the Integrated Waste Management Authority and on the executive committee, we have discussions like this all the time, and I also purposely meet with anyone that wants to talk to me on this topic. I've had site visits at every provider that has offered. So I have visited North County Recycling a number of times, Waste Alternatives, also the facility in San Luis, and various dumps and providers around the state. And I don't believe I've learned anything that has impacted my decision-making or is different than we've heard at this meeting. I think Bill Worrell has passed on any information that we have heard that is pertinent. Any other ex parte that anyone would like to disclose at this time? Councilman Kelly.
Yes, I've been in contact with both Midcoast Recycling and Waste Connections in San Luis Obispo, and I think all the council members got the somewhat proposal that Midcoast Recycling submitted, and I've had discussions over their rates compared to other rates, how they felt they could be competitive in the bidding process. Both of the other companies really were very concerned that they would hope that the process would be a little more transparent and open up to bidding. They both thought that they could be very, very competitive and possibly provide a better service at a lower rate to the city.
Thank you. And I think they all expressed that publicly at our last meeting as well. Councilman Sturdivant.
I, too, have had tours of San Luis and Brad Goodrow's facility and Waste Management's facility as well, and there's nothing in addition to anything the staff reported what we've talked about that I can add to the conversation. So,
thank you.
Nothing new to report in terms of visits. I had several myself and have had the correspondence from Mr. Goodrow at Midstate. I did receive a call from Mr. LaBarbera, and he had some concerns and discussed those with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Prior to the April meeting, I spoke with and or visited sites with both providers and a representative of Michael LaBarbera of Waste Connections. Since the April meeting, I have purposely had no contact with since the city decided to go in good faith negotiations, and so I decided to not enter into any discussions or conversations. I think I've had, I don't know, probably less than a half a dozen emails from people, from citizens or businesses that have been on behalf of Waste Management, but no new information that has come to me.
Thank you. I always think that's a good strategy, either talk to everybody or don't talk to anybody. So I think either is a fine approach.
You and I can't do that.
Yeah, it doesn't work for Bob or I, but others. Okay, if there's no other questions, we're going to take a brief 10-minute break, and then we'll go into, if there's last questions by council, and then open it up to the public. Thank you. Back on track. Very good. I'm sure we will have some lots of opportunity for discussion tonight. I want to first see if there are any other council questions before we go to the public. And before we go completely to the public, I would like to ask Bill Worrell, is there anything you would like to clarify that you've heard or any misconceptions we might have had? And Bill is fine. So we're going to open up to the public. Everyone is welcome. Please state your name for the record, and we have 3 minutes apiece. We'll try to go through everyone with an opportunity to speak for the first time, and then after everyone has spoken for the first time, if folks need a second time around, that will be fine. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Doug Corcoran. I work for Atascadero Waste Alternatives. First of all, I want to thank the staff.
If I may interrupt, and I apologize, we often begin with folks that do have an item on the agenda, so I do want to extend the courtesy that I see both contractors that have an item on the agenda are present and approaching. So I will give you each latitude to take more time. So since you've started, we'll go with waste alternatives, and then we'll go with Midcoast, North County, and say anything you'd like to say for clarifying, and then we'll go to the general public. So welcome. Please start again, and we won't hold the clock going for you too.
All right. Great. Thank you for that. I want to thank the staff. We had some really good negotiations. They've stayed very focused, right on task. I think they heard the council very well and made sure that everything we talked about was drilling right down on the directive they got at the last council meeting. So excellent bit of negotiations. I think we came up with a super deal and something to go forward with. I'd like to just, rather than give a presentation overall, address some of the questions that came up that the council raised as you were having your discussions. And I'll start with the buyback center, because that seemed to be a pretty hot topic earlier. Our suggestions for how to offset the loss or expense that we incur to operate that buyback center are just that. They were suggestions. Based on what we know right now, we thought that those that 40-cent additional residential rate adjustment in years 2 and 3, or the 6.8% commercial adjustment, we figured that would roughly cover what we needed to cover to maintain that. Things do change, and the reason we didn't push for anything immediately is because we recognize that things change, and we wanted to take this next year to work through that issue with the staff and find a way that we can continue to operate that buyback center. If we don't need those extra fees, we don't take those extra fees. And that would be our goal, ultimately. We just wanted to make sure that we were protected. If we couldn't get there, and we ended up in a situation where we would continue to suffer a loss as a result of operating that facility, we would have the option of either adding some fees or closing the facility. We don't want to close it. We like it. We like that the public comes to see us. We are part of the community, and it just gives us an opportunity to say hello to folks. So we don't want to close it. Business considerations may get there. We think, based on our history here in the city, our relationship with staff, that we'll come to a very good solution for that at the end of the year or before. So we're looking forward to that. So keep that in mind. We're not trying to close it. We're trying to figure out how to make it work for everybody. Let me go to a question that Councilman Kelly brought up. He was interested in kind of what percentage of the commercial customers would see the lower end of the reduction and what percentage would be at the higher end. So I can tell you this. There's roughly 36 commercial rate levels or service levels. Five of them are within 10 to 15% reduction. All the rest of them, I think there's one that's got a 21% reduction, and all the rest are north of 25%. 60% of all the customers in the city will see a discount of up to of around 29 to 30%. So the lion's share of the businesses, those that are paying the higher amounts, are going to see the greatest decrease in rates, and only the smaller, lower service levels are going to be seeing about an average, say, 15%, 12 to 15%. So I think that kind of answers your question. Local office, put it in the contract. I think we can solve that. We like the local office. Our folks are over there. We have the buyback center. We have it staffed with people. If you want to make sure it stays there, we're absolutely fine with putting that in the contract, leaving it in, and there it is. You've got your customer service center for sure. We probably just overlooked that during our discussions with staff, because it's not our intention to close it.
All right, let's see.
Let me address extra fees that Councilmember Fonzie asked about, that with the idea that you think you're paying something, you find out you're getting feed to death and that sort of thing.
those fees are actually optional additional services that the customer, each individual customer, knowingly and willingly enters into. They understand up front that if they want to get something like a locking lid, which requires a little bit more time, you know, requires a little bit more cost to for the container, requires more time for the driver to get out and deal with it, requires those sorts of things, that there's going to be a nominal fee for that. They don't have to take the locking lid. If they say, I really want that, we say, here's what it costs. They say yes, they say no. So it's not like it's any sort of a unknown thing. They go into it completely with their eyes open, and we make sure they know that all the way through. Natural gas trucks. Probably the biggest challenge here right now is fueling infrastructure. There's just not a lot of it around. And that's actually the biggest challenge around the country with implementing a natural gas fleet. Some places have a lot of fueling infrastructure. You can take care of that. You can fuel your trucks. It's not inexpensive to build a facility like that. And you want to make sure that you would cover those costs through the life of a contract or something along those lines. So that's a big challenge. Plus, there's the additional cost of the trucks. They do cost more. I think, what was the last thing I heard? I think it's about a 30 to 40% premium on the cost of trucks relative to what the diesel trucks cost. It's expensive. In the long run, of course, that's where everybody's going. We're committed as a company to go there. We run a tremendous natural gas fleet, but you've got to have the fueling infrastructure, and you've got to have a contract set up so that you can basically depreciate those vehicles over the life of the contract. Okay. I think those were the high points that I wrote down. There were some other questions that Mr. Thompson indicated that we'd work through as we finalized our negotiations. So I have all confidence that that's going to be fairly quick once we get through, if you folks move us forward tonight. So we hope you'll approve it. I'm still here for questions, anything you have. We've got Mike Smith, who's the Director of Operations over this whole area. He's here for questions. We're ready for you.
Thank you. And I'm going to consider you the spokesman for Atascadero Waste Alternatives and anyone that you want to have speak addressing questions to Waste Alternatives. I'll let you triage that. And again, we don't want every employee or someone that has an opinion that we'll get to in public comment, but we do want to give the two providers every opportunity to respond and share anything they want before we go to the general public. I'm going to hold council questions until both have had an opportunity to present. Then we'll take a chance after both companies have represented themselves for council questions, and then we'll go to the general public. So my only caution is the public's going to get tired of hearing you before we get tired of hearing you. So just remind their way that everyone's wanting to say something. We're paid to listen, so that's not a problem. If that concludes your input and anyone else from your company at this time, that's fine.
Yes.
Thank you.
At this time, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker. And I assume you are representing North San Luis Obispo County Recycling.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, although my triage partner, Brad Goodrow, is here as well, and I always defer to the client in case
we will welcome him anytime.
We happen
Thank
to miss
you.
Something. I'll try to be brief. My name is Kelly Astor. I had the pleasure of appearing before you, well, frankly, about 10 years ago. Someone mentioned calling the Evergreen. I spoke at that time in support of that effort and was here back in April for the very robust and comprehensive hearing you had at that time. What's changed between now and then? Well, I'm still here to urge on behalf of Mid-State Solid Waste that you reject that portion of the staff recommendation that calls for a renewal of the AWA contract. We'd like a shot at that. Going into April, we knew was that the commercial rates were some 60% by our guesstimate higher than a neighboring Templeton Community Services District. Seems to me that a great deal of progress has been made, and your staff is to be commended for drilling down Just as your questions earlier, I think, were very good questions, and I hope to hear more good ones. With all that said, though, there's more work to be done, in our humble opinion. I've been around this industry somewhere approaching three decades, and I've attended, as I indicated before, a number of these meetings in the past. I don't mean to suggest that your decision is an easy one, but I'd like tonight to have the opportunity to make it a little easier for you. You have some 30%, I don't know what the average is of these new rates, but they are far better than they were before. What if I were to tell you they can get better still? It seems to me, despite all the good work, despite everybody's best intentions, more can be done to get those rates down. But let me take an easy one first. Let's take the buyback center. If Mid-State Solid Waste is given the contract, you don't need to worry about examples that include residential rate increases, commercial rate increases after year one. Mr. Goodrow will handle the buyback center without any adjustment in rates, period. Our proposal to you last time was to give us the waste management contract, extend it out a number of years, and that didn't fly with the council majority. But we're back this time to give you really two alternatives to consider. And Mr. Goodrow will correct me if I get any of this wrong. If one were to take the existing waste management contract, which I acknowledge doesn't have some of the new service elements that staff has negotiated, but if you were just to take that for the 6 years that's being discussed in terms of any contract extension or renewal, Mid-State is prepared to offer you the Templeton rate, period. That means commercial businesses in the area wouldn't see a 25% cut in their rates. They see something closer to 50%. Secondly, if you decide that we really like some of the new services, the new enhancements to the contract that we've seen proposed as a result of the sole source negotiations that occurred over the last 2 months with waste management, Mid-State is still prepared to offer you the buyback center without any cost and give you an across-the-board 10% commercial rate reduction. That's firm. I'm saying it. That's tonight. So when you look at the options that staff has identified in terms of these contracts, one of the options that I'd like you to consider specifically is that of giving them notice that their contract will expire according to its natural term and without any extensions. You do so now, you're within the deadline of, I think, July 1 that's expressed in the staff report. And Mr. Goodrow assures me that's ample time for him to gear up and get the equipment and the people, anything else he may currently lack, in place so that we can take over with a without a hitch come the first of the year. So 10% is on the table right now, and that's with all the additional service enhancements that we're talking about here. I think that's an indication that while your process was beneficial and got you part of the way, there's additional steps that you can go. If you're uncomfortable with either of those two options, and we certainly hope you're not, put this contract out for an RFP. Buy yourself whatever additional time you need. The staff report itself indicates some $250,000 in rate concessions on the commercial side will be realized as a result of the discounts in rates that your incumbent hauler is now offering. Imagine what an additional 25% would do under the existing contract, or an additional 10% reduction would mean over 6 years. We're talking significant dollars and cents here. I know it's not easy. I will tell you, the hardest thing for a waste hauler to do is to earn the respect of their community. And your incumbent hauler has that from staff and from some of the people on the council. And so that's the challenge that we confront. How do we establish to your satisfaction that we can do just as well? We think we can. I think when we spoke of Mr. Goodrow's background at the last meeting, he shared with you the fact that in the West San Fernando Valley, he handled a number of cities, had several municipal contracts. Many of those cities were many times larger than Atascadero. So he's got experience on this scale. I'll also add this. As I expressed last time, I happen to be a lobbyist for the waste industry in Sacramento, and I'm unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, on the front lines of all the legislation that's in the works right now. We are going to see organics legislation this year. I feel very confident in saying that. This year, some of the problems that they experienced with the measure last year that led to its being held in committee, those have been largely eliminated. We're not home free yet, but someone that has the experience with green waste and food waste processing that only Brad Goodrow and Midstate have, that's something that's going to be very important to you going forward, because whatever the contract says today, whether you sign it with AWA or with Midstate, you're going to have to account for green waste processing and organics processing and food waste processing on a scale you haven't had to deal with before. I don't have any problem with Mr. Thompson's suggestion. We can confront that when it's time. It is premature at this point, but just know that one of the advantages of selecting mid-waste is they're already poised to do that directly. They're not going to rely on anybody else for that, and that could be critically important to you as you demonstrate compliance with the waste reduction requirements to CalRecycle. So with that, Mr. Goodrow, if you'll join me up here and offer whatever sage additional comments you want, now's the time. And we're certainly available for any questions, maybe after the public speaks or when you folks have heard enough and you want to respond with specific questions, we'll be happy to try to answer. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Goodrow.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm just more or less here to answer any questions. And I see a lot of people are here tonight, and I'm sure they want to speak. And I think my attorney has said it all. If there's anything else that you need to hear, I'm here for you. Are there any questions?
We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Atascadero Waste Alternatives if they'd like to respond to anything they've heard, and then we'll go back to the North San Luis Obispo County Recycling if they want to respond any further, if there's new information, and then we'll go to council questions.
Welcome. Thank you, Doug Corcoran, Atascadero Waste Alternatives. I guess I would just say sort of tactic of waiting for a council meeting and then to come up and say, oh, we'll do the same thing for less money, it's something we run into in the business everywhere. Generally, we run into it down in the L.A. area. Ironically, Mr. Astor is representing Brad Goodrow here, represents us sometimes down in the L.A. area, represents us sometimes over in Tulare County, represents some others somewhere else. I mean, it's what he does. He's good at it. He's been at it a long time. But to put it into context, you know, that's what he's here to do, represent something at this time. One of the cautions I would make, and I can say I also have many decades in this business. I started in 1983, and I've worked through every layer of this business since then, know it very well, and I can tell you unequivocally that to come into a council meeting and just say we can do something, same thing these guys are doing, but cheaper, really requires the ability to just throw out a number without knowing what you don't know. So Mr. Goodrow has not serviced the city of Atascadero. He's a no problem with him. We have a good working relationship and business relationship in bringing him our recyclables and the green waste, but he doesn't know what he doesn't know about servicing the residents and businesses of Atascadero. So he's kind of taking a flyer here. He's throwing it out there, saying, yeah, okay, I've got many years in the business, so trust me. Many years in the business, sure, that's fine. And that brings a certain amount of credibility with it. But the fact is, nobody knows what it really costs to service this city better than we do. And so we would urge you to take that into consideration. Understand that our numbers are based on actual, on-the-ground, real experience on the streets, servicing the customers. They're good numbers. They're right in the wheelhouse of the local market. We think it's a terrific deal for you, so we hope you will move this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll ask North County Recycling, you may respond. I'd ask you to limit your comments to what the last speaker has brought up.
Thank
Welcome.
You. I will endeavor to be very brief. Doug Corcoran's a friend, and I understand and appreciate his remarks, and we're working together later this week where we're on the same team. You know, about a year and a half ago, Templeton Community Services District received a letter from AWA, urging that they put their contract out to bid. They don't haul that community. They don't know that community. So it depends on which city, at which moment in time you're looking at. We've all been on both sides of this. I would concede that Waste Management, or AWA, forgive me, knows Atascadero better than Mid-Valley does. That's a given. But we know it well enough. The experience is important because it tells you that there's the ability to adapt and to meet whatever challenge. There's nothing here that they haven't seen somewhere else before, maybe not in this exact combination. But the same thing that led AWA to urge Templeton to go out to bid or to consider competitive proposals fuels or drives Mid-State to do it here. And that is to try to deliver the first-rate service at the best rate. Now, it turns out that Templeton was successful in getting the lowest rates in the county without doing that. What we're telling you here tonight, with all due humility, is you haven't gotten there yet, despite everybody's best efforts. You're not the lowest, and we're going to prove that to you by telling you we can come in underneath the number that was negotiated behind closed doors for 2 months where we weren't given a chance to roll out our proposal. Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to bring it back to Brad. You had something to say. Okay, welcome. And again, if you'd limit your comments to the last comments made by Doug.
Very good. I'd just like to tell you that either myself or my people have been down every street in Atascadero. We've counted every cart, every house. We know what type service every cart or every residential customer has. We know every street in this city. We've been to every commercial account. We know what size bins, how many times a week they're serviced. I don't go about this lightly. I've been in this business all my life. I've serviced Westlake Village, Thousand Oaks, Agoura Hills, Calabasas, Malibu, the Malibu Mountains. We serviced from Sunset Boulevard on PCH clear to Ventura to Point Magoo. We did all the mountains from that beach all the way to the 101 freeway. There is not any service in Atascadero that I'm not capable of providing. And before I ever started on this down this road, I learned everything there was to know, everything that I needed to know before I made these statements. I just wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm now going to open it up to questions from council. And again, I would ask that you just direct your questions either to Waste Alternatives or North County Recycling. And I'm going to assume that Doug will take the responsibility of who answers for Waste Alternatives, and Brad will take responsibility for who answers for North Recycling, so that we kind of know there's some filtering or triage process to that. So I'll look to my lights. I see Councilman Kelly. Any questions?
Yes, this would be for Doug. I believe earlier Mr. Thompson said that the estimated cost to run the buyback was $48,000 to $60,000. Would you concur with that?
Closer to 60.
Okay. And at 6.8%, can you put a dollar value on that for me?
It's about $60,000-$70,000 a year.
Okay. And then the 40 cents per the 8,400 clients times the 2 years comes out to about $80,000. So it seems like you're really covering your costs by these added fees that you're going to add on.
If we need them. Well, as I said earlier, our intention would be not to have to do that.
Do you need them today?
Do we need them to you to decide to put that into the contract today? We don't.
No, I mean, do you need the fees to keep that thing operating today, or are you running it okay?
We're running it. It's very marginal, often at a loss, but we're willing to do that for the rest for another year to see whether we can't figure out something else to keep that
thing open. Is it at a loss close to $60,000?
Well, I think under the where the current commodity prices are, it's not at $60,000 a year loss.
The thing is, you know, my earlier question is you're having a reduction of the 10 to 36%. The majority of it seems to be 36%. How is your company able to absorb that loss in these critical conditions to keep businesses going?
I think we all recognize that the commercial rates were disproportionately high in the contract in the past. We think we can bring the rates down to that number. It was certainly a big sales job internally to get our upper management to understand that we would take a haircut like that. Yeah. But we can still maintain an acceptable margin and bring the rates down to that level.
When you originally analyzed those rates, were you aware that they were too high, or have your operating costs decreased that much from original determination?
Some of the operating costs have decreased over the last few years. We've implemented a lot of efficiencies that were not in place at the time that the contract was signed. We've improved in technology, vehicles, and just the way we manage our drivers. So that has brought our operating costs down through the years, not in one big jump in any given year, but steadily over the last few years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next questions from Councilman Fonzi.
This would be for you, Doug. I'm sorry. Don't sit down. Just a clarification. For multifamily residential, I know they sometimes use dumpsters. Are those considered commercial or are those considered residential?
They're commercial.
And I know that there are some houses, mine among them, that are green waste exempt, and we get a deduction from our bill of about $3. Is there a rental fee for those green waste dumpsters every month on everybody else's bill, or are those provided for free?
They're provided there's not a rental fee. It's part of the overall rate.
Because our report said that they were included in the trash dumping rate, depending on the size of your dumpster. It was including the green waste and the recycling. I just was confused and wanted some clarification on that.
Right. That's correct. The rate for the service includes the containers.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Workin. And I'd like to ask Kelly a question also. And this actually may be a question for Mr. Goodrow because I...
Question. If he's holding material... He's doing it because of vagaries in the market. He's waiting for the best price.
Well, this is what I was told when I visited the Mid-State, and he said that he had a time, and it may be frequently or infrequently. He's the expert. I
see Mr. Goodrow approaching, and it does sound like it's a question for him.
Okay. And what you told me, Mr. Goodrow, was that you had a time you were piling up recyclables in your yard, and they really weren't worth anything because the price for selling them overseas was negligible.
Yeah. October 1st, 2008, that was the day that we got called by our brokers and they told us we're not taking any paper, either mixed paper, cardboard, or they call it OCC, or mixed paper, or newspaper. We held the bales until February 1st. We had to store the bales. We had over 1,000 bales, and we had to buy tarps to tarp them so they wouldn't get wet. But that was a glitch in the market that happened. We could have came back to the city of Atascadero and asked for some subsistence, and we didn't. We held on, and we burned up our savings. We kept on recycling everything, and we just stored it from October 1st, 2008 to February 1st, 2009. Finally started to move, and we were back in the market again. At that time, we were still dealing metals and plastic and all the rest of it, but it was about a $40,000 to $50,000 a month hit on us, but we survived it, and we didn't come and cry to the city to ask for help. That's what my explanation was at that time.
Well, the reason I ask this is because one of the proposals for keeping the buyback center open was for the waste alternatives to pick up the recycling service. So I just wanted to throw this out and get your input on this. Is the recycling something that's truly not profitable? You'd like to get rid of it if you had the contract renegotiated, or really it is profitable and you're interested in doing it?
It's a changing game every day. I'm sure even waste management would be able to say that. One day it's up, one day it's down, one day it's sideways. It has a lot to do with the residuals. And when times get more difficult, 2007, 2008, we started to notice our residual rate had climbed. When you take in recyclables and you have 10 or 20% residual rate, those residuals have to be. And it's the hardest part of the solid waste business. Servicing trash containers, being a trash man is very easy. Being a recycler is very difficult. That's all I can say about that.
So would it be fair to say that you're willing to take that on and take that risk?
Yeah. If I have a hauling contract, I could spread my cost over more hauling, more customers, and the more hauling customers I have, hauling customers will bring you an amount of profit. You may not make a lot of profit, but it'll be a regular profit. The recycling business, you may make money 1 month and you may lose money for 2 months. But the more hauling customers that you have, the easier it is to make the whole thing work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad?
Yes, Councilman Kelly.
As I sit here this evening, I look out in the crowd and I see a lot of employees from Waste Management. And I know if there is a contract change, there's going to be some very serious effects on a lot of families in our city here if that occurs. Could you tell us what you would have to do to increase your business if you did get the contract, how many employees you may have to rehire, and if you would go to maybe some of the employees that possibly could get laid off from Waste Management, if they would be your choice?
Yeah, absolutely. There are people that know this business. I know most of them. They come into our facility. I drive a trash truck at times myself. And I see them out on the road. They're nice people. They're good people. It's not about us. It's not about us trash men in San Luis County. It's not about that.
How many new employees do you think you would have to acquire to say, take over the service in Atascadero?
A couple of secretaries, 7 to 8 drivers, and probably 2 mechanics. Where I get an efficiency is I've already have the yard, I already have an office, I already have a maintenance facility. I have a lot of costs that are already covered. The other side of that also is with the recycling that I do, the way I recycle, and then the big one is the green waste, I've got control over two-thirds more of my cost. I'm not worrying.
I'm going to ask Dan Harris, the district manager, to come up and answer that question because he can break it down for you on drivers.
Or if you could just tell me what the effect would be. If you...
Well, you've asked a question. It's been triaged. We'll hear the answer.
All right. Well, we'd have, Richard actually would be better for this, but we'd have 20 in Atascadero, two in Paso. We'd have 10 drivers, a couple of shop, a couple of cart guys, oil guy, 2 in the office. Yeah, that's pretty much the story.
When you say you have 2 in Paso, is part of your business part of those people?
Buyback. We have a buyback in Paso.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other council questions at this time, I will ask both representatives. I'll direct it to Doug and Brad. One concern I have is, of course, we have often entered into agreements with, I'll use an example of a developer on a project. We get a pretty picture. We like it. We trust the person we've entered into an agreement with. And we approve a project, and then later the project is sold. As we've had a discussion, it's a commodity, as a contract is, and then we may end up with a different provider, and they may or may not do the same job that we were expecting. And so one question I have, and something I would still want to look at in this contract, is having a limitation. I'm concerned about someone entering into a contract and then selling it off. I would certainly want to consider the issues that have affect our community, and I would want to have such a decision come back to the council. So I would ask each representative from Waste Alternatives and North County Recycling, have they ever considered negotiated or had any discussions about selling their contract, and could they agree that if we modified the contract that the city would be notified and that we would not have the option to sell the contract to someone else, that if you enter into a contract, you honor it, you fulfill it. If for some reason you can't or don't want to, it would come back to the city for renegotiation. And if you could talk to that point, each company, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, Doug Corcoran, the Atascadero Waste Alternative. We enter into this contract. What you see is what you get. You know us. We've been here. It's not. You're not going to wonder. Gee, are they going to? They going to do something and you know pull a fast one here? We're here. We're here for the whole length of the contract. We'll put that in the contract, whatever you want to make you feel comfortable about that. But we don't sell them. We buy them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Next representative. And I see we have the lawyer.
Sorry, I know a little me goes a long way. I'm actually aware of situations where Waste has sold off some of its assets. That's occurred over time. As far as how you deal with that in the contract, you don't tend to see an absolute...
Could you respond first to the question was, with North County Recycling, could they live with a contract that does not allow it to be sold? And what has been the experience? Has North County Recycling considered selling our contract or any contract? And what's that experience been?
I would counsel my client against ever signing an agreement that had an absolute prohibition against a sale. What I was about to say is that most every contract, and I've done hundreds of them, include features in them that protect the city. The first and obvious one is there's no transfer without your consent. So you have the ability to consent or not. And if you recall, in this very county, many years ago, when Tom Walters was running Wilmar Disposal, he was allowed to sell to Waste Management his Atascadero contract, but was unable to secure county approval for his county franchise to sell. So you retain control in most every contract. I've never seen one that doesn't have it at this point, where consent can be withheld by the city. And other cities also often roll in a different kind of provision, which will provide disincentives to a sale, including not just an absolute prohibition, but instead of that, if you sell early on in the contract, there's a penalty that can be paid versus if you sell with 3 or 4 years to go. The reason why an absolute prohibition won't work for Mr. Goodrow is this. He gets sick. Heaven forbid something happens within the family. The key leadership can no longer perform. That may be the only option that they have. And this is his whole life. This contract, his contract with Templeton, et cetera. So an absolute prohibition doesn't work, but there are a number of ways that we can roll in conditions of approval and so forth that offer the requisite protection to the city.
Thank you, because I bring this up partially because...
contract term and how we would need a certain number of unexpired years to go obtain financing. That's the commodity treatment I was referring to. It had nothing to do with him flipping the company.
Yeah, but again, while you're there, since we're having a discussion, I think the point is that you needed the ability to sell that contract is what gave it value in negotiating with the bank.
No, not to sell the contract. The bank looks at how long are you going to be in business. If I'm going to extend financing to you, what assurance do I have as the lender that note's going to get repaid? The assurance I have, the security that I get, is in the fact that if I do my job well, and he's got 40 years of history doing that, they know that he's going to be around long enough to amortize all the debt and pay off his loan.
So would the bank accept a contract that had a limit that it could not be sold or traded? It would come back to the city for renegotiation if for some reason that contract could not be honored by the provider?
Banks have no problem with the traditional features in such an agreement where the consent of the city is required before any assignment of the contract can occur. I've never seen one that said there's an absolute prohibition against any transfer.
And you would advise against going into such
Absolutely.
A contract?
Absolutely. It's this okay. whole line.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Goodrow.
Mayor O'Malley, if I could interject real quick, just on that topic, our existing contract with North County Recycling has an assignment clause in it that says the city has to approve any assignment of the agreement.
Thank you. Mr.
Goodrow. I just wanted to add one thing just to get everything clear. Just after I purchased Mid-State Solid Waste, or it was the old Wilmar contract, I was contacted by the man that bought our company, or my family company of 40-plus years, Mike McGee, and at that time he contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in purchasing the Atascadero contract, that they weren't doing very well at it and had too much windshield time, and they thought they were thinking about getting rid of it and if I'd be interested. I waited about, and I said, yes, of course. I waited a month. I didn't hear back from Mike. I called him back, and he said, well, they were going to try and change some things, and they were going to keep it. So that's my experience with him. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Councilman Moreno, followed by Councilman Kelly. And just direct your questions to one company or the other, or
okay.
both.
I think this would go to Mr. Goodrow or Mr. Astor. You brought up the issue of the contract that's being negotiated. Could North County get the $7 per ton for the recycling and then turn around and sell it to somebody else for whatever price?
Let's direct that to our city engineer first.
Oh, let me make sure I understand you. So if they were paid $7 to take it and then just put it in a truck and then hauled it to San Luis Obispo or Santa Maria or Salinas and sold it to somebody for...
Yeah, and I don't know the logistics of how it would work, but could they sell it, whether they take it, someone comes and gets it, you know, they direct AWA to take it elsewhere? That probably couldn't happen with the contract, but could that end up somewhere else? My concern being that the ratepayers in Atascadero would then be financing, you know, a profit of $17 on commingled recycling.
I suppose there's nothing in our contract that says they can't sell it, I mean, to somebody else. I mean, they're selling it to a wholesaler. I mean, somebody, they're going to receive the material, package it, bale it up, and then take it to either Oakland or Long Beach, as I understand it, and it's put on cargo containers and off to China it goes. Mm-hmm. So they're getting paid by those people for it. So whether it's the wholesaler at Long Beach Harbor or somebody else, I don't think we don't direct where they can get rid of it or sell it.
Well, but what I'm saying is if they end up being a middleman where they're beyond, because right now they get it and they process it and they package and then they sell it after they've done something to it, could they just take it and sell it and have somebody else do all of that work and then get it at the end? Is there another layer in there upon which then our ratepayers are... Our citizens are taking an additional burden.
That's probably, these guys are the people that do this for a living. I know that they can package it up as commingled recycling, not process it, just, you know, containerize it and ship it off, and they get a reduced amount for that because it's mixed. Or they can sort it, what Brad and Waste Alternatives do. They have a plant in Santa Maria. They sort it and get the aluminum and the glass and all that separated, and then they have specific costs, probably higher costs, because they've sorted it for that material.
Thank you. Brad, let's expand that, as I know you're going to need to anyway to get to an answer, but maybe you could go through the process of what is involved for the recycling. Of course, like you would like to have the entire contract, Waste Management is saying, well, they'd like them to your recycling business.
Okay, well, just to start off, the last number that I heard from the city of Paso Robles and their paperwork was that Paso Robles Waste pays Waste Management $7 a ton to take their commingled recycling, but they do not pass on $2 to the city of Paso Robles. I get a net $5, they get a net $7. So there's one number out there that Paso Robles is paying $7 a ton. and you're paying $7 a ton. To talk about how this thing works is the commingled recycling comes in. We put it down sorting lines. We pick it up. He may have something different to say, but that's the last thing I've heard. We tear it all apart. We sort it all. We bale it, and then we market it. We either send it to Fresno or L.A. in bales that are in trailers, or the lion's share goes in to cargo containers. It goes down to the ports in Long Beach, and then it goes to the Orient. So we are middlemen. We're all middlemen in one way or another. The less you process it, the less you get for it. And it's a constant game. It's a daily game to try to get the most you can to keep the system running. What has happened was 2007, 2008, we were doing pretty well in the recycling end of it. But when the economy went south, people started taking their aluminum cans and their PET bottles and their glass and taking them to buyback centers. And we're down about over 50% in our CA redemption. And that's what's really impacted our market, along with the less CA redemption and then the more residuals that we get. It's getting more and more difficult to do. Anything else I can tell you?
I think there's a risk that we get into a he said, she said here, right. And I want to avoid that. Again, I think let's let that go as your answer. If we have additional council questions, we'll direct that. Great. And we will ask Waste Alternatives if they'd like to address that as well. Then we'll be back to Councilman Moreno.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Just one comment on that. Mr. Goodrow has got old information about Paso Robles, I think. We do not receive.
And just to clarify, and again, where it gets complicated, if to me you have to look at the whole picture simultaneously, and whether you get so much dollars and give the city back $2 or whatever combination, I assume that's all factored into the ultimate overall price of and the contract, that if you pay more for recycling, that impacts your contract. If you pay less for recycling, that impacts your contract as well.
All of those numbers that you're talking about are included in cost of doing business, and then, of course, you know, factored through the rates and all that.
Thank you. Yes. I see Councilman Kelly, you have questions to direct to any particular
part. Yeah, this would be for the attorney, maybe Mr. Goodrow. Getting back to the conversation about the value of the contract, I think at the prior meeting that we had, that discussion dealt with the startup cost of a new business, and there was quite a bit of discussion about the cost of the natural gas trucks. And I believe the conversation was the value of the contract was good for a bank as collateral to get the loan, and was that what the discussion was that evening?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other council questions? Seeing none, we will go to the general public and just come forward. There is no order, so anyone may speak for up to 3 minutes. And we'll see how that goes. Welcome.
Welcome, Mayor. Mike Zappas again from Atascadero, and I'm a business owner here in Atascadero. And I think there's only really one fact. We've been getting into a lot of details, but there's one fact that you should consider, and that is we have been paying whatever the average is, 25% more than we should have in Atascadero. There's no reason to reward that kind of conduct on the part of Atascadero Waste Alternatives. That is the kind of thing that drives me up a wall. We spend over $2,000 a month on trash hauling, and I really resent the fact that we're not putting it out to bid. And the second comment that I have is it's not really relevant, but I think it's important to realize that over the course of our last contract, the CEO at Waste Alternative or Waste Management.
Hey, members of the council, my name is Jim Patterson, and
I came here tonight in support of staff's recommendation. I read the staff report and felt good about the fact that after the April meeting, when you had the workshop and the discussion, and there were three providers vying for the contract, that here a solution was proposed where the two companies got together with staff, and I appreciate staff's effort here, to work out a compromise that would keep both companies engaged in the North County. I actually was involved with the city's Recycling Advisory Committee back in the early 90s, along with a consultant and former employee of Atascadero Waste Alternatives and Waste Management, Ron Villarino, and working with Bill Gibbs, owner of Wilmar Disposal at the time, we were able to really make Atascadero the first city in the county to offer green waste curbside recycling. We were also the first city to meet the AB 939 diversion rates, both in 5 years and then in 10 years. So it was a good partnership. And both companies are good community partners. I live in the unincorporated area of South Atascadero, and Mr. Goodrow is my waste hauler, and he's an innovator in the solid waste and recycling business. And at the same time, Atascadero Waste Alternatives has really lived up to their role as a good community partner for Atascadero. So tonight, we have a different mix, and you're in the enviable position of having two reputable companies, very well experienced, offering services, and you're in the unenviable position of having to make a decision on how to move forward. But after hearing the discussion tonight, both from the companies and the questions that you've all asked, I think I'm still in support of keeping both companies engaged here in the North County, and do support staff's recommendation. One concern, well, I especially that service available to the community. Thank you.
And we will allow another time back if, after everyone has spoken for the first time. I do recognize former supervisor Mr. Patterson, also preceded as president of IWMA, and one thing from different perspectives we've learned, it's much more complicated business than we thought before we started. Thank you. Welcome, next speaker. Don't everyone rush at once. Welcome.
Good evening. Linda Hendy, Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. First of all, I think the staff has worked extremely hard on this, and we really respect the process, listening to both companies, and there's no question about their service and their capability and the great people that work for them and their contributions and support to our city. So this is a very tough decision, and we really respect this process that's going on this evening, and we hope you make a good decision for the city residents and the commercial businesses here in town. Thank you.
Thank you. And welcome, next speaker.
Good evening. I'm Ron Villarino, and I work with Waste Management, and I want to go over a little bit of the background, how long I've been around here, to see how the industry has changed and what has gone on maybe before you guys were even around. I don't know how long you've been up here. I'm a former Atascadero resident. I was here when with Jim when we started the Atascadero Recycling Committee to help form the recycling program in the city. The one thing I learned through all that process and through my years of being in the industry, which is I started back in high school in the 70s, believe it or not, but I actually worked in the industry starting in the late 80s up here in SLO County and then in Santa Barbara County. The one thing you got to watch out for is when a hauler, it could be a recycler, wants to come in as a hauler and they want to cut their rates down for the public. They want to give them a better deal. But what happens is if you try to live off the sale of commodities to make it and commodity prices go down, then your service suffers. Your equipment suffers. Your operation suffers. We saw it here happen in Aurora Grande, Five Cities area back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s with Ralco, if you remember that company. It was a generous offer to everybody to try to keep the rates down, but they couldn't keep up with the operations, keeping up the equipment, the insurance.
I probably don't even need to tell you about phones, right? Thank you. Welcome, next speaker. And if you intend to speak, it wouldn't hurt to line up a bit because we can save that much time if folks are ready to go. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. A couple of things.
Mr. Lara, for the record.
Thank you very much. From Atascadero, and this is the first time that I've been to a council meeting, and I felt that this was an important issue to address, and I just will mention a couple of things. But first of all, I'd like to say that I would suggest that you extend the contract with Waste Management, and the reason is, first of all, is the exceptional service that they provided to our household. We live probably about 300 yards from the road, and they pick up around 7 o'clock in the morning, and frequently or periodically I forget to take it out on the night before. So the next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes when I'm pushing that container down the road, and the driver sees me coming, he stops until I get to the road and then picks it up, and also. Sometimes when I miss it completely, I put it across the street, and when they turn around, come the other direction, they pick it up, okay, which I imagine that some would just ignore it because there's no household on the other side. The other thing is that I'm very impressed with the company is when I look at their workforce, and if you can see it here, it's very diverse, and that's very important to me personally when I see a company that is fully committed to diversifying their workforce, and they've done an exceptional job of hiring people, women, minorities, and non-minorities. The other thing that I noticed is that commercial and residential has been spoken, but one issue that came to my mind when that was happening is that you're not comparing apples and apples. I'm comparing apples and oranges, because for the commercial customers, they actually, to them, it's a deductible expense. But to residential customers, it's not a deductible expense. So consequently, if you really wanted to actually compare the two, you would have to then go dig.
Any other speakers? We will close comment soon, but we do want to take every opportunity. If someone has already spoken, I think, well, I don't see a large demand for speaking time, so if someone wants to speak a second time or for more time, we will accept that. We'll come back to see if council has questions for the contractors, and then we'll go on. Welcome, Mr. Fredericks. You may.
Thank you very much. I've got a... just kind of a little petition here that 150 different...
Would you please speak a little closer?
150 people signed. An exclusive garbage collection franchise with a company currently serving Atascadero commercial and residential accounts is about to expire. Current commercial rates range from 50% to 60% higher than neighboring rates. Only one residential bin size rate is slightly lower. All others are higher. We keep hearing 50 to 60%. I have a 4-yard bin. I think it's like $250 per month. You figure 12 months in a year at 50 to 60% higher, just for one commercial user, you're looking at, I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework as far as writing it down, but at 50%, it'd be $125. That's what, $1,300 per year? and that's just for one commercial user. Some commercial users get two bins, three bins, four bins, so the price goes way up. You times just the $1,300 or $1,400 a month or a year times 600 users. Look at the amount of money that is. That's a lot of money. It's inconceivable that the prices are what they are. And if North County, Mid-State Solid Waste, is offering the city the deal that they are offering, doesn't that make sense?
You can just deliver it to staff and we'll get it to the right person.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The police chief is a trustworthy person, I assure you. Well, let's see if there's anyone else wishing to speak for the first time, and then we're going to entertain one more second round before we close public comment. I do want to give opportunity for last comments by the contractors. Anyone wishing to speak for the first time, we are going to go to a second round, and then we are going to be closing public comment. And we probably will not reopen it, just so we're clear. No more for the first time. I welcome anyone who has already spoken or anyone that would like to speak. Now is your time. Welcome.
Mike Zappas again. I'm going to make a pest of myself. You know, the other thing that I forgot to mention the first time I was up was that really when you're talking about this buyback facility not being nailed down in the contract, you really don't have a contract. It's like saying, well, we're going to kick this can down the road, but nobody here in this room tonight or nobody really knows what that means. So I would urge you just to at least put off the existing contract till you nail that down. And also I would urge you to open it up again to a full challenge by anybody else that's in the room. That's the American way. I don't know why we're fooling around with it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, I'm going to close public comment. I'm going to bring it back to council, and we will begin deliberation. If first, let me see if council members have any questions of anyone, and then we will start offering our opinions. So first, let me see if there's any questions, anything that needs to be clarified by council members. So we are ready to end. Now it is a free-for-all. Welcome, Councilman Kelly.
Thank you. I think tonight there's been a lot of discussions about the two companies that are here this evening, although I believe there's a third company in the county that would enter into the bidding process if it did happen to come along. I'm very concerned about the buyback. There's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. I don't think anybody can give me a definitive answer. How much this thing costs, how it's going to work, whether the company's been charging, go over a 10-year period, $35 million bucks minimum. That leaves a little sour taste in my mouth. But I think the best part of the staff report here, which is on page 257, the next to the last paragraph, which I'll read, the advantage of the RFP-RFQ process is the providers have one shot to bring forward their best offer, and they may be motivated to operate on a smaller profit margin to ensure their proposal is looked upon favorably. All would sharpen their pencil to provide the city the requested service at the lowest cost, making assumptions of how they would be able to achieve the end result. This could mean lower costs for our community. As a city councilman, I think that's my job. That's what I need to do to represent the people in this city. So I'm in favor of, there's no big rush on this. I'm in favor. I think we have a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of things that we need to put together. I have nothing against any of the company. I think you guys are doing a real good job. It's just a business the American way. And if you guys win, I'll be perfectly happy with it. But I think we need to get all the numbers, all the players out on the table and really take a fair look at it. And it's our fiduciary duty to the citizens of Atascadero to get them the best deal, not necessarily what the best deal is for the city, but what's for the citizens of the community.
Thank you. Next council member. While I'm waiting for a light to light up, I can make you. This is the time for questions or deliberation. Go ahead.
Just to clarify, this is actually for Rochelle. When it comes to the RFP, RFQ process, what does that look like time frame when it comes to for the staff for actually getting it through, for actually savings being realized and actually taking place within the city?
So if we were to go out and do the RFP, RFQ process, we would probably be extending AWA and North County Recycling existing contracts for another year out to January 1st, 2016. We would begin starting to develop the RFP, RFQ. Mr. Worrell has offered to help us with that process. That will take a little bit of time to go out and to get that done. We have the added disadvantage of our public works director leaving this summer. That's not insurmountable, but it may slow things down a little bit. What we would do is we'd take probably 3 or 4 months, get that RFP, RFQ out in 16. So we're looking at 18 months from now. When you talked about savings, there is some potential savings if you do sign the contracts or you do tell staff to go forward with these contracts tonight. Those rates would go into effect immediately as opposed to any new rates 18 months from now. Well, not immediately. It'd be, I think, September 1st is the proposed date. So there's, you know, about $250,000 for a year of annual savings. Add another 4 months onto that. Let's call it $300,000 of savings that we would lose over the while we were renegotiating or going through the RFP, RFQ process.
Thank you.
Councilman Moreno.
Just to go along with Councilmember Sturdivant's question, so time-wise, when we talk about opportunity costs, what things are we working on that might get kind of put on the back burner or take longer than council has been expecting or staff has been expecting if we did something like that?
I'm going to let that go to Russ, so.
Right now, I mean, with the staffing, you know, that we have a number of capital projects that we're trying to get to. We have a number of road projects, El Camino, San Anselmo, Santa Barbara Road, East Front, Lakeview. I mean, there's a bunch of paving projects that our intention was to get them out this summer. We're behind, and we're having trouble getting the plans and specs, and we have the City Hall lighting project is a deadline that I cannot leave until that thing is out to bid.
And so, well, great, then. I've got a, I got an idea here.
So, sounds that, like that we need to continue
hard,
it.
A hard deadline just for those monies. I mean, we are behind in our capital projects. And going out for RFP, because this is complicated, it's not a construction project that we do and covering all the potentials for a new contractor that may not be in this room to get that, you know, contract is very complicated and has a lot of, you know, moving parts to that. So it would take some time, and I wouldn't envy my successor to step in and try to get all of that done in the short term.
So really, everything couldn't get done, including whatever we want to get for the lake. I mean, it would just be pushed out 3 months, 6 months.
That's correct. So it's not a matter of, you know, staff doesn't want to do it, we don't have the time.
Right.
It is truly a matter
that we're all interested in keeping the buyback center, and Mr. Corcoran did say that they will keep the buyback center, so I don't think there's any question about whether they're willing to or they want to. They've said that they will, and it seems like those suggestions in terms of the 6.8% or the 40 cents in years 2 and 3 were kind of top-end recommend suggestions that may or may not even need to go forward. So I think if we did go forward, Russ, how would that work in the contract? So we want to get a contract in place by, let's say, September 1, but we're still trying to figure out buyback. We know that's going to continue for another year. How do we have an assurance if we're signing a contract this year that buyback will continue? Would there be those upper end provisions, or how would that work in a contract?
Well, I think in their proposal, they have kind of outlined the what ifs just to kind of box in this, you know, the answer. Is it a 40 cent increase to residential rates 2 years in a row? I mean, we know that that's, you know, 80 cents over 2 years. That still probably leaves the city of Atascadero with, if not the lowest residential rates, close to it. So that's a viable option, you know, perhaps, to pay for it. I really feel like we have had good negotiations with Waste Alternatives. I believe that we can come up with a solution. You had mentioned going and working with the supermarkets, see if they want to become a partner in that and assist in funding it to avoid having a replant it on their site. I think those are all, in 12 months, I don't see that being an issue. I think you can resolve the buyback center issue, is my gut feeling.
And so that would go into the contract currently that there will be a buyback center, and here are the various provisions, and as more information from the state, CalRecycle, all that comes forward, we'll solidify the logistics of that by whatever date.
Yeah, I think we could put in the contract if it's 40 cents, or if we dig into the numbers, maybe it's 35 cents, and maybe it's not 6.8%, it's, you know, 5.4%. I think we could put in the contract at least some known quantities that we know we can extend the buyback center project or facility, and then just have an or other solutions as jointly approved by both parties.
Okay.
And that may be a hybrid, or, you know, maybe we don't, we let them close it and force the supermarkets to go to replant it.
I mean, that is interesting because the supermarkets do get reimbursed. Mine is that's something that the city and Waste Alternatives went into a contract together. I mean, nobody was strong-armed into that. So it seems like neither the city nor Waste Management can answer exactly how that happened. Was it early in the time when you had to try to incentivize people to recycle because that was being mandated by the state? I don't know. We don't know. And so to say that they were overcharging, they were charging what was in the contract. We weren't being... you know, they weren't underhanded in any way. Everything was up, out front, and transparent. So we can say we're not happy that the rates are higher, and we see that recently people have been able to get lower rates. Well, yeah, we want those lower rates, and that's what we asked for last time, and those have been brought back. I think for now I'm fine.
Thank you. Now we did, Councilwoman Fonzi, did you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I have a comment. I think we've had enough questions. I think I've actually had the questions answered for me, and that's usually pretty hard to do.
Very good.
I have been very happy with Waste Alternative Service. I don't have a complaint in hand except for the commercial rates, and I know that the commercial rates were worked on with staff, but when I look at those commercial rates compared to other cities nearby, our rates are still high, that we're actually quite high. I think it's incumbent upon the city council to put this out to bid, even though I know that you're leaving, Russ, and this is a big burden on staff. It will take time. I appreciate Mr. Worrell that he's willing to help us out with that. But I think we need to get this out there for the companies that are in our county to sharpen their pencil and see what we can get for our consumers here in the city. Waste Alternative may come in the lowest. We may have anybody, Mr. Goodrow or others, that can do better. But I think it's something that we need to think about for those who live in our city. We need to get them the very best deal that we can. So I'd like to have this go out to RFP or RFQ.
Thank you. And again, my lights aren't always working quite right. I advanced it. It was Councilman Kelly up next, followed by Councilman Sturdivant, but the lights switched on us.
Yeah.
I was hoping to make a comment myself, but I am happy to defer to... Well, okay. Well, I have a few. Would Councilman Kelly, would that be all right, or would you like to go ahead?
Well, I just have just a couple
go
real
ahead.
Quick. I concur with the Councilman.
I have seen that in other RFPs where there is either a bid fee that's submitted at the time of submittal or the cost of the staff time is included in the new rates as a way of recovering that cost. So that has been done.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. I can defer. If you'd like me to go first, Councilman Sturdivant, that's fine, your choice. Okay, well, I think since we've had attorneys speak to us tonight, don't you get to use the word stipulate? I think there's a couple of things we can stipulate. All companies I've talked to are good community partners. That's not an option where we can choose between companies with. All companies I've spoken with have hardworking local employees. So there's nothing really to compare or differentiate there. And I'm a residential and a commercial customer, so my personal experience has been neutral. I'm fine with existing service. I look at it more from a, I can't help it, I look at it from an economic standpoint. It is interesting to me that let's face it, Jim Patterson and I don't agree on a lot of things. We happen to agree on this, and we've both gone through, maybe a few things, Jim, but we've gone through the experience with working with the Integrated Waste Management Authority and learning a little bit more about this industry. And there's what economists call, this is an imperfect market. It's not like we're talking about gas stations that are locating down the street, and there's free comings and goings in the marketplace of folks providing services and folks getting services. We have already impacted this market, and for one, I'm going to differentiate between dumps, hauling, and recycling, because there are three components we're looking at. But the issue is, I use a dump as a perfect example. We have a place to deliver our trash. And in a free market system, we could go out to bid, and I guarantee you there are other dumps. The Paso dump may well say, we would do it cheaper than Chicago Grade. We didn't make that decision. We did a sole source contract with our own provider. And there's a good reason for that, because if in a free market we said, well, we want to try a different vendor, or we don't need as many vendors today and we exclude some, or in the future we change our minds and we want more vendors, vendors can come and go and not only by doing a sole source contract to preserve one in our community, we also try to extend its life, which is contrary to the financial interests of the landfill owner. They, of course, would like to have as much coming in as soon as they can and make some money, and we're saying we need to extend that because we don't know what the future looks like. It's like a community resource. So we manage a business in an imperfect market different than we do in a free market. And an example of how we've did that with our own landfill is we negotiated that we just want your best price. We're not going to go out to bid. We just want your best price. And as we've seen how that worked in our community, when they did receive or lowered their cost for services in another jurisdiction, we said, thank you, we'll take that price. There are ways to manage a contract to get good rates in a imperfect market and where you don't have competition. That is how we've decided to deal with landfills. Hauling is another issue. It's a little freer. There are more potential for distributors or our haulers to come in and out of the market, but there are many things about the market that are also not like a free market. If it was a free market, just like you have a gas station on every station, every corner, we would say, well, whoever wants to haul trash, come on in. Maybe Brad takes the north of Tascadero, maybe San Luis takes south of Tascadero, and maybe Waste Management takes the middle. But we say, no, we want an exclusive area for a reason. We don't want the chaos in our community of multiple vendors coming and going and negotiating. We interfere with the market by saying we want a defined area. We also define it by a length of a contract. They're very long contracts. Everyone here that says we want to have a contract, as soon as they get it, they're going to say we want it forever. They want it for a very long period for a reason. As has been said, it's seen as a commodity in a sense. It's how part of their business. So hauling, again, is not a typical free market enterprise like we think of businesses normally operating, like you say, a contractor. Lots of contractors, not so with haulers. The issue with recycling is a third component of this industry, and it's probably the most difficult of all. It's very cyclical and very dependent upon a lot of economy waste recycling. Brad was there to support that. We wanted to do that. Unfortunately, in the process of trying to accomplish that goal, we all learned at countywide that there were a number of hurdles to deal with. Not only did it have to get permitting for the food waste on the site, it turned out you had to have a special permit related to transfer stations, a separate permit for hauling, and it got to be very encumbered with government. So even though Brad and I had a very good intention, we wanted to do something, it turned out we couldn't keep that promise. We couldn't do it because there were just too many outside forces at play, and that is a problem in this less than perfect market. So with a lot of those issues, for me, I think it's best for our community to preserve three good providers. I think there's an economy of scale, and I think there's an area of expertise that I truly believe Chicago Grade is the best landfill for the City of Atascadero Services. That's why we did a sole source contract. I believe that waste management has done a good job on the hauling, and I would like to preserve that alternative in our community, and I believe that the North County Recycling has done the best job of recycling and the potential to do food waste recycling. Of course, every entity would like to do it all. However, if they do it all, we've actually shrunk our market, shrunk our choices in our community. And so for some of that is just some of the thinking I've gone through why I support staff's recommendation. There's also the issue of the opportunity cost with staff time. And as far as some of the unanswered questions with the buyback center, folks, there's going to be unanswered questions in this industry because it's not just a market decision. I would think that would be great if it was a free, willing market, buyers and sellers. It's a lot of levels of government that is going to impact that. We're going to have to step in and be involved in making this decision ourselves, and we're going to have to work with lots of state entities to do it, much like we had to do with stormwater management. We could have trusted to the state to take care of it, but we said, no, we're going to deal with monitoring septic systems instead of the Regional Water Quality Control Board because we figured we could protect our community better. So I think this is another area we're just going to have to be involved in to make it work. So I've said my piece. I've given a lot of thought. Quite frankly, I've had more time to think about it than the average person because, again, I pulled the plug is the right way to go. Well, I've used up my time. I'll turn it over now to Councilman Sturdivant, followed by Councilwoman Moreno.
I'll tell you, this has been certainly an interesting. This is my first time dealing with garbage and trash and recycling, and I tell you, it's a real education. So the first thing I want to say is that both parties, both the Atascadero Waste Alternatives and Brad Goodrow's company, you guys have done an outstanding job. You are top-notch. You are businesses that we're proud to do business with. No one has said anything bad about any of your company, your people, your customer service. You guys do an outstanding job. I had been looking at this more from the RFP, RFQ process, and when the council said, go ahead and let's go get this taken care of with go and negotiate, the points, I didn't think we'd be able to get to those points. I didn't think we'd be able to get to everything that we were looking for, commercial rates, residential flat, extra service, all these things. The extra service to the city, that is going to save us manpower and time. That in itself is a very, very big feature to help our city operate and keep our streets clean and those kind of things. So, the buyback center is important. It's very important. I know I used to take stuff to the buyback center, load up my truck, take my daughter down and get her $40 for a truckload full of recycles. I know there's a lot of people count on it. So I know we can come up with something within a year. I know that. I know we can look at roll-off. We can do regulating roll-offs. We have some very creative options. I believe that we can come up with some kind of an answer. And when it comes to this whole thing about RFP or RFQ and just thinking it through, that's 18 months. That's 18 months of paying the fees locked where we are now. That's 18 months of just that much closer to 2020. When the laws are changing. So that means at that point in time, it's going to be a very short contract. that we're going to be renegotiating anyway in a very short period of time. So we have got everything that we are looking for. We have stabilized our residential rates. Commercial rates have come down. I am in favor of supporting staff's recommendation.
Councilman Moreno, and after New Lights, after you've spoken, we could entertain a motion.
Okay. I just want to say that I too, am in favor of going with staff's recommendation, and I think with everything that's been said tonight, something...
Councilmember Fonzie?
No.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
3-2, motion passes.
Thank you. Well, thank all of you. I know it was a tough process and decision for all of us. Yeah, we're still working, but we'll give you a moment to clear out. We have to go forward. Of course, I think we could go ahead to some degree because we may be done.
I have none.
Can I assume there are no council announcements and reports? Go for it,
I just want to say we opened the library on Saturday. It was fantastic. There was a huge showing there. The community is so excited. The space is doubled. Hours are increasing about 20%. I think most of us were there. A really exciting time for our community. Lighthouse had their 5K, 10K. A lot of great participation. Love to see that. Twin Oaks had an open house, that development down by Jack in the Box, and they've got... a lot of announcements. So very exciting. Lastly, yes, that CERT exercise was fantastic. Thanks again, Mark Russo.
Thank you. Any other council announcements or reports? Can we dispense with committee reports this evening?
We can.
Any other staff input? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.